I'm going to call this meeting to order at 9:02 a.m. And we are going to just quick start with a roll call. So just hold on a few minutes for 20 people who are being recognized today. So, Fawn, did you want to start?
Fawn here.
Lisa Summers here.
Trish King here.
Dehassa Hill.
And Melinda Danforth. And just for the record, Tina Danforth and Jenny Webster are in Chicago, Illinois, attending a court hearing on the Seven Generations Corporation ACF litigation. And Brandon Stevens is in Haskell for the Haskell Board of Regents. So, Dehassa, did you want to start with an opening for us, please?
Dauna Gunjokwa, Suhin Siose, Ginate Ohundu, Ganahela Dunksla. Aguego Skajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula Daitinoe Ladu, Nain Yukinoha Ohunjage, G. Segu, Inadliwan Dier Hari Dat, Yanduha King Guatnigul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula Daitinoe Ladu, Nain Otneganosogu, G. Segu, Inadliwan Dier Hari Dat, Yanduha King Guatnigul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula Daitinoe Ladu, Nain Onegli Suha, G. Segu, Inadliwan Dier Hari Dat, Yanduha King Guatnigul. Aguegos kajia dwahwe nuni in guatnigul a daitinoe ladu, nain onunquatogu, g sego in adliwan diedo hari datu yunduha king guatnigul. Aguegos kajia dwahwe nuni in guatnigul a daitinoe ladu, nain onunquau, g sego in adliwan diedo hari datu yunduha king guatnigul. Aguegos kajia dwahwe nuni in guatnigul a daitinoe ladu, nain galunda suha, g sego in adliwan diedo hari datu yunduha king guatnigul. Aguegos kajia dwahwe nuni in guatnigula daitinoe ladu, nain asanate gundahun daily, g sego inadliwan diedo hari datu yunduha king guatnigul. Aguegos kajia dwahwe nuni in guatnigula daitinoe ladu, nain gundilia suha, g sego inadliwan diedo hari datu yunduha king guatnigul. Aguegos kajia dwahwe nuni in guatnigula daitinoe ladu, nain ojita suha, g sego inadliwan diedo hari datu yunduha king guatnigul. Aguegos kajia dwahwe nuni in guatnigula daitinoe ladu, nain kanjokwa, g sego inadliwan diedo hari datu yunduha king guatnigul. Aguegos kajia dwahwe nuni in guatnigula daitinoe ladu, nain oela suha, g sego inadliwan diedo hari datu yunduha king guatnigul. Aguegos kajia dwahwe nuni in guatnigula daitinoe ladu, nain ladisa gayondese, g sego inadliwan diedo hari datu yunduha king guatnigul. Aguegos kajia dwahwe nuni in guatnigula daitinoe ladu, nain yodahalos unquajiha, g sego inadliwan diedo hari datu yunduha king guatnigul. Aguegos kajia dwahwe nuni in guatnigula daitinoe ladu, nain yunki sota hui nidale, yunki nugula dadi datu yunduha king guatnigul. Aguegos kajia dwahwe nuni in guatnigula daitinoe ladu, nain yojisto kualu, g sego inadliwan diedo hari datu yunduha king guatnigul. Aguegos kajia dwahwe nuni guatnigula daitinoe ladu, nain skanadalio g sego inadliwan diedo hari datu yunduha king guatnigul. Aguegos kajia dwahwe nuni guatnigula daitinoe ladu, nain gaye nyungwedege g sego inadliwan diedo hari datu yunduha king guatnigul. Aguegos kajia dwahwe nuni guatnigula daitinoe ladu, nain sunquai disu g sego inadliwan diedo hari datu yunduha king guatnigul. Danito.
Yoko Dehassa for doing that. And at this time, it is the Business Committee's honor, along with the HRD, to recognize there was 24 employees on the list, but 20 employees, those individuals with 25-plus years of service. We have many that have 25 years. We have those that have 30, 35, and 140-year employees. So I will let Geraldine get started.
That's a big wow, 40 years. It is a long time. So I would like to share what happened in this community 40 years ago. 40 years ago, the tribe's dental clinic was open only 3 days a month. The Oneida Credit Union was chartered on June 21st, 1974. 35 years ago, the Oneida Tribal School opened on September 10th, 1979. Recipes were frequently run in the gully. Favorites included salt pork and beans, beef ribs with milkweed pods. 30 years ago, the remodeling of the Sunny King Gym at the Site One Recreation Center was finished in 1984. the Ronald Reagan signs legislation creating the JTPA program. 25 years ago, the Neville Museum opens its clan exhibit. Dual exhibits of the Turtle Clan and dinosaurs drew more than 80,000 people to the opening week. Copies of the Oneida Indian Experience, Two Perspectives by Larry Humptman and Gordon McLester III go on sale. So these are some of the things that happened when these people were first employed with the Oneida tribe. We do this to recognize each and every one of you for your time and dedication to the organization. So with that, I'm going to ask each supervisor to step up and say a few words about each of their employees. So we will start with Maxine Thomas, who has 25 years of service, and Sherry Musso will be speaking.
Sherry, can you turn the mic and face the crowd, please? Thank you.
Okay. While stage asleep. Maxine has provided 25 years of service to our school system. I do want to acknowledge that, say, 100 students a day, she's seen over 2,000 students have been through her classroom. She's inspired not only her own children, and we have another employee who's her daughter, another employee who's, Don was taking pictures, but plus her grandchildren are now in our school system. She's been working with Oneida language all those years. I remember when you first started here and you had a cart that you were pushing around, and now you've got a beautiful classroom. In addition to teaching language, you're the mentor and caretaker of our plants and our crops in our field. So we have an organic garden, and right now we're looking at harvest and getting ready for our annual harvest dinner. I see Amelia in the crowd. We always have classes with the students making gestoha. Did I say that right? Gestoha. The traditional cornbread. And when the parents come through line for harvest, they want to see what their child made in Maxine's class. That's what they want to eat. That's what they ask for. So whether it be pumpkin bars or cornbread. She takes the time with the students and her families. She works with teachers also teaching language, and we're very honored and proud for her services as a language, culture teacher, and mentor in our system. Yonko.
Back down. Next, we have Valerie Yazzie and her supervisor, Jennifer Anderson.
Maxine, can you please come back up and stand with the group? We're going to get a group picture.
Val has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida tribe. Val came to the tribe with an associate's degree in accounting, and at that time, she was the only tribal member to work in accounting with a degree. Val was originally hired as an accounts payable clerk, and then over a period of time, she supervised the file clerks before she got her bachelor degree in accounting. Then she went on to supervise the gaming accountants and the clerks at the gaming accounting division, and then she became a payroll manager and continued to become a senior accountant. She's worked in central accounting on various items such as payroll processing, gaming reconciliations, and bank reconciliations.
And per capita reconciliations.
Per capita, yes. Val is per capita.
Thank you.
Yes. Next, we have Calvin Cornelius with 25 years and his supervisor. I'm drawing a blank right now, sorry.
Kevin.
Cal's been a really important part of our electrical crew and also a really important part of DPW for the last 25 years. Calvin's got a really strong background in facilities. He was in maintenance before, and he's got a lot of carpentry skills, and he's been a really consistent producer for us. He has good leadership. I rely on a lot, just make sure I'm heading in the right direction. And he's worked on hundreds of projects that we've done, including the Anna John, a new Anna John, the VFW post. And now he's working on a judiciary job. And it's been really a lot of fun to work with.
Okay, next we have Sarah Williamson and her supervisor, Yvette Peguero.
I've known all of our staff members for at least 25 years, and it takes a very special person to be a kindergarten teacher. When I go down to the classrooms and I'm there just for a little while, I'm exhausted. So I mean, she's been here 25 years, so again, she's taught so many students on the reservation and has watched them grow up. She's such a kind, caring, nurturing person. I don't think I've ever heard her raise her voice. Sarah has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Tribe and the Oneida Nation school system. Throughout the years, Sarah has always had the well-being of her students in her heart. She is nurturing, caring, and compassionate towards her kindergarten students and strives for academic excellence in preparing our little ones toward their journeys in life. Sarah's many years of memories will always be precious for her. Sarah has served on several committees over the years, curriculum, reading, school improvement, and positive behavior and support. Thank you for your years of dedication and devotion. Yawan Ko.
Next, we have 25 years for Antoinette Osterberg.
I was sitting in a classroom up in the Norbert Hill Center here, and this new teacher shows up. I never really met her before as an adult, so I got to know her, and I realized we were cousins. So, and Tony's been, she's been several positions in our school, from the lower elementary to many years in the middle school, so she did a lot of her combat training there. But again, Tony is, she's such a dedicated person. She's always got a smile on her face, full of energy, always volunteering for committees, and I can do that, I'll do this. She also coaches on her various volleyball teams and things like that, so she's always got a lot of energy. Tony has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Tribe. Tony is a proud member of the Menominee Tribe, and she grew up on the beautiful Menominee Reservation. Throughout the years, Tony has been a valued member of the professional community of the Oneida Nation Elementary School. For 12 years, she has taught science in the middle school and 13 years in grades 3 and 4. She has been a co-coordinator of the annual ONS Science Fair for 10 years and a volleyball coach for 20 years. Tony has a very positive attitude and always has a smile on her face. Her enthusiasm and kind spirit have enriched the lives of the children of the Oneida community. Yawan Ko for many years of dedication and hard work.
Next, we have 25 years of service for Barb Kolich. Barb, you're next.
We went through orientation together.
Many of you may recognize this face. This is the first face a lot of people see when they first start in the organization. Barb has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Tribe. Barb began her journey in 1989 as a lifeguard and has held several health-related positions since then. She was a physical education teacher, a Health Works Fitness Center supervisor, and a health promotions prevention coordinator. In 1996, Barb began working in human resources as a trainer. A few years later, she became the training and development director. This is a position she currently holds today. During her time in HR, she also spent 2.5 years filling in for my position, and she did a great job. As training director, Barb is one of the first people new employees learn from the day they begin their journey with the tribe. Because Barb is well-versed in tribal policies and procedures, she is an excellent resource for new and current employees. For example, Barb was instrumental in creating training for the tribe's new drug and alcohol policy. In addition to training policy, Barb and her team also provide top-notch supervisory and leadership development opportunities to the workplace in a variety of helpful formats, such as e-learning, book club, and classroom training. Barb is a great facilitator who works hard on developing herself as well. She is an avid reader of self-improvement books, and she's completed a half Ironman and has successfully volunteered as an Indigenous game swim coach. Congratulations, Barb. Next, we have 25 years for Cynthia Thomas.
My first year of teaching here at the Norbert Hill Center back in 1981, I have a picture of my class in my office right now. And standing in that picture is this little girl, Cynthia Thomas. So I'm very proud to give this award, to this recognition, to Cindy. She was one of my fifth grade students the first year I taught. And I can't believe it's been that long. I can't believe she can be here for 25 years. But again, we have such wonderful staff at our school. Cindy's a wonderful art teacher. Again, she's another person that's always ready and willing to volunteer and go above and beyond what's required. Cynthia is proud of her Oneida heritage and has earned a Master of Arts degree in Secondary Education, Bachelor of Arts degree in Art, Communication in the Arts major, and is a certified K through 12 art teacher. She has 11 years teaching experience and is a graduate of the Oneida Nation Elementary School. Throughout the years, Cynthia has shared her creativity and love for art, incorporating her traditional Oneida background into her daily teaching curriculum. She is a positive role model for her students and for the Oneida community. Thank you for your years of commitment and devotion to our school system. I like to brag about Cindy a lot.
The next is, for 25 years of service, is Faye Ninham and her supervisor, Lucy Neville.
Hello, everyone. On behalf of the Oneida Tribe of Indians of Wisconsin, it is with great pleasure to present this Years of Service Commendation on this 8th day of October, 2014, to Faye Ninham. Faye has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Tribe. Throughout the years, Faye has served as a custodian at Norbert Hill for 3 years, as a custodial supervisor at IMAC for 3 years, and as a safety specialist at gaming for 19 years. Some notable achievements for Faye, she had told me a story that as a custodial supervisor, she co-developed the first recycling program at gaming. And she explained to me that the first program was at the side of the IMAC building where they used tarps to enclose the guys when they sorted through bags. This is trash bags. And they used to find some coins in there. Mind you, that was a long time ago. I thought that was pretty incredible. As a gaming safety specialist, Faye has earned the trust of employees, which is critical in instituting a safety culture. She has also received recognition from risk management. Keep in mind, we all know what it's like to try to build trust with your employees, and it's not easy. And so when the specialists go around and talk to employees, at times Faye said people would run and hide because they didn't want to report anything. They're afraid of being written up or something by their supervisors. So now they come to Faye and her coworker Steve with concerns, and we address them. They've started a safety committee, and keep in mind this has been going on for a long time now. So I have to say that the safety specialists have done an excellent job at gaming, and they've been recognized by risk management not only for all the activities that they do to build a safety culture, but also to save money, and that's to the bottom line. On behalf of the Oneida Tribe and the Oneida Business Committee, we are thankful for Faye and her unwavering dedication to the organization and the community. And one last thing I forgot to say is everybody always is grateful to see Faye. She's very smiley. She has very good communication skills, and I really appreciate all the work that she does every day. Thanks, Faye.
Next, we have 25 years for Sandy Seeloff and her supervisor, Lisa Slavy.
Sandy, for those of you that don't know, works at the health center in the Eye Clinic, we often joke that she had to get a work permit to start working for the tribe 25 years ago, as she is still so very young. So Sandy's number one attribute is her customer service. She is there for our community. She's there for her staff. She's there to be an advocate for the tribal resources and for the patients. And you guys have no idea how much she does behind the scenes to make sure all of that happens. So I wouldn't be able to do my job as well as I do without her, because Sandy, you know, she's behind the scenes doing things so I can concentrate on what I need to concentrate on. So we're very blessed. The tribe is very blessed to have her working for us, and hopefully she does continue to work for us for a very long time. So congratulations.
Next, we have 25 years for Tonya Boucher. Did I say it right?
Okay.
And Larray Gower will be her supervisor. Is her supervisor.
Okay. On behalf of the United Tribe of Indians of Wisconsin, and it was with great pleasure to present this Years of Service commendation on the 8th day of October 2014 to Tonya Boucher. Tonya has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the United Tribe. Throughout the years, Tonya has worked for the tribe in a variety of positions, to include office manager at Social Services, administrative assistant at HRD Training, Backgrounds Gaming Commission, Career Services and Facilities, a trainer for accounting and a paralegal. She is currently an HR generalist in the Personnel Services Department. I have known Tonya for almost 25 years. It's been probably closer to 22 when we first started gaming and moved to gaming HR over at the Airview Employee Services Center. Tonya and I worked together back then as co-workers, so I'm very happy to present this to you today and congratulate you for that. Thank you.
Next, we have 30 years of service. This is Teresa Torres and her supervisor, Joan Krishnat.
30 years. 30 years.
All right, so Tina started in this program. Well, I think Tina is kind of the face of Head Start. Many of you probably recognize her just being part of the Head Start for so many years in this community. And she started out as a parent and kind of moved up the ranks. And I guess when I really got to know Tina was when I came on board as the education manager many years ago. And I came on board and I was trying to find my way around things and figure out how things ran, and everybody kept saying to me, well, ask Tina. She knows the answers to that question. Well, just go and ask Tina. Tina knows that. So a lot of it was Tina just knew a lot about the organization, what the expectations were, how it all ran. She was always the teacher that everybody was, like, writing on their applications. I want Tina as my child's teacher. She was very dedicated to the children. We always gave her kind of some of the children that might have sort of challenging behaviors, because she always kind of knew how to bring those kids around and help them to be successful in the school setting. She did just a wonderful job of all that. And so basically, I found a position for her called the mentor coach position, and I kind of created that position and with her in mind, thinking if she's that supportive to me, she could be that supportive to all the teaching staff. So she moved into that position. And then I moved into the director position, and the education manager position became open. And then she was the sure person that needed to have that position as well, and that's where she's at now. And when she took over as the education manager in the interim, after I took over as director, we got national recognition from the Office of Head Start, from the National Center on Quality Teaching and Learning for some scores that our teachers were providing. They came in for a federal regulatory review and found out that our teachers had really high scores. So she was instrumental in helping the teaching staff to become more successful for the children. And like I said, she is the face of Head Start. She's like a confidant. She's a person people still go to date. Sometimes they go to Tina for everything because Tina does know a lot. So just wanted to once again congratulate her on 30 years of services to the tribe, and she's been a great asset to this tribe.
Next, we have 30 years of service for Michelle Dockstader and her supervisor, Melinda Danforth.
Come on, lady. Come stand with me.
Yep.
30 years, wow, I think I was 10 years old. Just thought I'd get her a little red first before we butter her up. So Michelle has provided 30 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Tribe, and actually, because I'm a new supervisor for Michelle, I had to go and dig with her colleagues about what her milestones have been over the years. So here goes. Michelle's first 5 years working for the tribe was in Bingo, where she worked in various positions, which means, I think, jack of all trades. So for the past 25 years, Michelle has been working in retail, first as a retail store manager, then as the interim education specialist. And now for the last 17 years, she's been working as the retail profit area manager. Is that correct?
Yes.
We especially appreciate Michelle's perseverance, ability to challenge the status quo, and her passion for continuous improvement. All these qualities have contributed to improving the business of the retail enterprises. As we can see from the changes that have been made from the drive-up windows, go get your cigarettes for driving up and then get out and jump out in the little spaces that they had to deal with, to our nice one-stop stores that we have. And I think most recently everybody will recognize that we have a new store at Peckerland and Larson Road with a new Oneida Market, and that's contributed to Michelle's leadership in the retail area. When Michelle isn't hard at work at the retail store, she's also a mom, a grandma, an auntie, and she also contributes her time to the election board and volunteering and many events throughout the Oneida community. So on behalf of the Oneida Business Committee, your supervisors, and on behalf of the Oneida Tribe, we thank you very much for your commitment and service. It's been a pleasure.
Next, for 30 years of service, we have Cheryl Skolaski and her supervisor, Susan White.
Congratulations. Good morning. Cheryl has provided 30 years of continuous commitment to the tribe. Throughout the years, Cheryl has dedicated her career to upholding the membership requirements within the tribal constitution and membership ordinance. While leading the enrollment department, she developed per capita payment processes. She has coordinated computerization of the membership data and the Oneida Life Insurance Plan Plus claims processes. Cheryl has developed information sharing by providing restricted access to tribal departments to verify enrollment status. This narrative does not do justice, and I'm very honored to recognize Cheryl. When I was trying to look into ways to recognize, I kept coming to gratitude. So on behalf of the Trust Committee, thank you, Cheryl, for completing so many projects while maintaining the strictest confidence in protecting the individual privacy of all Oneida Tribal members and their families. Thank you.
Now we have 35 years of experience, and we will start out with Shirley Jean Schuyler and her supervisor, Chad Fuss.
Good
As Melinda mentioned, 35 years, I believe I may have been 2 years old. Shirley has provided 35 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Tribe of Indians of Wisconsin. Shirley started with the tribe in 1979 as an account clerk. Starting in 1988, Shirley worked as a gaming accountant. In 1992, there was plans to expand the casino, and at this time, Shirley became the director of accounting for gaming and still holds this position today. Shirley has had the opportunity to see gaming grow from a very manual process of recording on general ledgers in ledger books to a technically advanced area as it is today. Shirley is very instrumental in developing many policies and procedures that stop the coins from going into garbage cans to going into the bank in order to define with integrity how gaming accounting was completed. Shirley received her Associates of Supervisory Management in 1999. A couple of things that I do not have on here. I have not worked with Shirley for a long period of time. I've known her for probably about 8 years, and I've worked directly with her about for 4 years. A couple of things that I really want everybody to know is some things I've learned from Shirley. I call her Jeannie, Shirley. But two things really come to mind. Integrity, honesty. Those are the things that I always go to Jeannie for. I know I always can count on her to be honest. I always can count on her integrity. Other things that I go to her for is if there's anything historical that's ever happened with the tribe, she can go into her little catalog and pull up the 1992 resolution of dot, dot, dot. The meeting minutes from BC meeting in 1989. There's so many things that I go to her for that she just has that knowledge of. And the one thing I also know that is she's very dedicated to her family. She made a lifetime commitment to her family, and she, I respect her very much for that. So I just want to say thank you for your dedication, thank you for your 35 years, and thank you for allowing me to work with you.
Next, for 35 years of service, we have Terry Van Wyken and her supervisor, Jim Wildenberg, sorry.
When I found out Terry was celebrating her 35th, I asked if she started when she was in diapers. Terry has provided 35 years of continuous commitment to the United Tribe. Throughout the years, Terry has worked for 19 years at the United Community Health Center as an MIS billing coordinator and trainer. While working as a billing coordinator, Terry completed her associate degree in computer programming at NWTC and her bachelor's degree in computer science at Lakeland College. In 1998, Terry accepted a position as an entry-level programmer in the MIS department. Over the years, she has progressed to a senior programmer analyst. Terry has been a major contributor to the MIS department, working with the implementation of a variety of new systems in the Comprehensive Health Division, compliance, vendor licensing, vehicle licensing, contract health, and others. Terry continues to support the implementation of our new electronic medical record system. What the paper doesn't show and what the words on here don't show, Terry, is your commitment to the organization. Terry is available on weekends, evenings, anytime that there's a need. Often systems need attention when we're not working so that we can keep the systems up. I recall one occasion when we were bringing up a critical system in the health center. Terry was hospitalized. She was on the phone from her hospital bed coaching our staff as to how to fix some problems. Terry, I very much appreciate and value your contribution to the organization and our department. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. And last but not least, for 35 years, we have Henrietta Cornelius and her supervisor, Dr. Stemsky.
I didn't know I was going to have to do this, because I would have been just struck with fear. But that being said, 28 years ago I came to this tribe, and since that time, Henrietta has been my right hand for anything that's done at the dental department. And so to keep this short and sweet, the thing that Henrietta is, she cares more about this community and her family than anybody else I have in my department. And any success that we have in our department is totally attributed to her. And I'm blessed every day that I go to work with her. And I thank her. Thank you.
Okay. Again, we'd like to thank all of these employees for their time and dedication to this organization. And at this time, the business committee members will come down and shake your hand. Again, thank you. Let's give them one more round of applause.
Thank you all for your patience, and for those families that would like to continue taking pictures, can you move yourselves in the hallway, please? For those of you that want pictures or continue to talk, please go out in the hallway. We're about to start our meeting. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Before we begin to adopt the agenda this morning, I also wanted to send my sincerest condolences to the family of Wanda Webster, as well as one of our employees in the MIS area, Ed Latchett. Both of them lost their lives this past week and a half, and on behalf of the United Nation and the Oneida Business Committee, we send our sincerest condolences to the family, and we ask that the Creator touch their hearts during this difficult time. At this time, we're going to go ahead and move on to adopt the agenda, and I'll turn to Lisa Summers for changes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The agenda is before you with two deletions and one addition. The first requested deletion is for new business number C, which is the request for the hyperbaric oxygen chamber. The second requested deletion is executive session new business number 4. And the final is an addition in new executive session new business number 5, and that's regarding the wage increases for the two division directors that are through the housing transition.
Okay. Is there a motion,
Madam Chair?
There's nothing to discuss yet, Madeline, until we get a motion on the floor. Okay? And then I'll call on you. Thank you.
Okay, Madam Chair, I'd move to support the recommendations for the deletion of new business C, hyperbaric chamber. Understanding, and I'd like to state a motion for the record that that item has been budgeted for 2015, so if that's the concern, that we will be addressing that. If there's more issue for discussion, then the chairwoman would need to bring that forward. And executive new business, deleting executive new business number 4 and adding on executive new business number 5.
Is that a motion?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion by Trish. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Fawn. Madeline?
Business committee. I'm very concerned. There was documents sent to the business committee through POGI from Tom Fox a week ago, and now you're saying you do not have the documents to go by. This is really a breakdown. And Tom Fox, who brings the hyperbaric here, is here today. A number of people are here today to testify about the importance of the hyperbaric to them. And Tom Fox will be leaving the area, and he will not be here to testify if you attempt at a later time to take this out of the budget. That's my main concern. I understand it's in the budget now, but it could be taken out of the budget before it's presented to the General Tribal Council. There are a number of people who benefit from the hyperbaric, and there are two especially needy young people who need this service. One is Amelia Cornelius' granddaughter, Jessica Nishimoto, who cannot release her arms because of the cerebral palsy, pulls her muscles in so tight that she cannot release her arms. And this hyperbaric treatment helps her to release her arms. People have testified to me that she even laughs with happiness when she's in the hyperbaric chamber at times. There's another one, Noreen Matoxin's granddaughter. I can't remember her name. She was also extremely damaged in her infancy when she had seizures that was not treated by the hospital for too long a period of time. She suffered extreme brain damage. And this is very critical to her also. And I don't care if you're a Christian or if you're Longhouse, whatever religion you are, you do not take money to help away, to help away from the most needy among us. And that's why I'm here today, to ask that you allow Tom Fox to speak so that, and the witnesses, so that this will not be taken out of the budget, especially for those who are extremely the most needy in our community. I just can't express it enough. I'm saying, if you're a Christian or you're Longhouse, don't make no difference. God knows what you did.
Madam Chair. So,
let's be clear, Madeline. Nobody's taking anything out of the budget at this time, but everything, all the considerations in the budget at this point, you heard from the committee, the hyperbaric chamber item is in the budget for fiscal year 15. As we progress through the budget, yes, there are going to be things being deleted, but everything is up for consideration at this point. Also, the business committee has heard testimony from individuals over the years, and we understand the importance of the hyperbaric chamber. For this agenda, when the business committee came into office, we agreed that a person couldn't just submit one piece of paper to the agenda saying, this is what I want to hear. We've asked for justification. We've asked for backup. We had a meeting last week, Thursday, where the business committee reviews the agenda. We asked the chairwoman's office to follow up with any of the necessary backup information that needs for the consideration of the business committee so that we understand what's going to happen today. That did not happen. We have one piece of paper that says you requested the chairwoman's office to consider a discussion about the hyperbaric chamber. So at this time, the committee is considering deleting this item from the agenda for those reasons, because we don't understand what we're here for. And so I will let Lisa.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Call for the question.
The call for the question is going to be recognized.
You're not taking enough witnesses. You're cutting off witnesses.
That's unfortunate. This is our meeting, and the call for the question prevails over anybody to have discussion. The call for the question ends discussion because the motion is to adopt the agenda with two deletions and an add-on in executive session.
Can I request a copy of the
point of
audio
order, Madam
portion
Chair,
of
I call
this
for the
meeting.
Question and we you can, recognize
yes,
that we need
call
to proceed
for the question
with the vote on
means
the call
that
for
we
question.
Need to proceed with a vote at this time, and there's no more discussion on this item. The point of order, you have to be recognized in order to be called upon, please, and I would ask for order in the room.
The call for the question of the point of order does not allow you to talk, Madeline. I'm not discussing this. I'm asking, can I have an audio copy of this meeting?
Absolutely.
I request that?
It'll be on the tribal member's website as soon as it gets completed.
Okay.
You can't, because a call for the question by my colleagues requires the chair to end discussion and will vote on the motion. And I apologize, because that's the rules that I need to follow when I chair this meeting. And that's what occurs at GTC. That's what occurs here with the business committee as well. So it's not because I don't want you to speak. It's because my colleagues have called for the question and they want to vote on the motion to adopt the agenda with deletion of two requests and one add-on in executive session. So I'm going to call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
Abstentions? Motion carries.
I have a for the record comment.
Lisa?
Two comments. The first for the record comment that I have is that I support the request for the deletion because for one specific reason, and is that during agenda review, the chair's office was requested to follow up with this information and provide additional documentation to the Oneida Business Committee so that we could make an informed, constructive decision. That was not completed. The reason for the other other record is that I have opposing the adoption because of the add-on. My office has taken a position that no add-ons be submitted to the business committee agenda. That's my for the record statement. Thank you.
I'd like to speak on what the secretary just said. First of all, the documentation was sent to the secretary's office last week.
Was it?
Is it true that Pogi,
I'm not aware of that information, and what I do know is that items are submitted to the BC_agenda requests, and that information was not submitted there, the same place that you submitted the agenda request the first time.
So the documentation was sent to Pogi's office, and after our discussion, the request was not formal. The request was an informal request, and after discussion with the chairwoman, we made up our minds that if the people show up here, then what do you guys need the additional information for? Because they're here to voice their opinion. So what would you need the additional information for? If the source is at the meeting right now.
Right. I think you're going to have to work that issue out with the secretary's office at this point, because the business committee has agreed about how we would structure these meetings and ensuring we had the necessary information.
If there was going to be individuals here
to speak on this issue, it would have been nice to have a memorandum from either your office, the chairwoman, or from an individual saying that we're going to come here and this is what we expect from the business committee, this is what we want you to do, and we're going to be presenting testimony in that order. There was nothing that was submitted other than a cover memo saying that Madeline was requesting to discuss the hyperbaric chamber with the business committee. So I would ask that you work with the secretary's office. This issue can come back on in 2 weeks. We have another business committee meeting scheduled for October 26th. This discussion can happen there. At this time, the committee already deleted the agenda off, or deleted that item off the agenda, and we're done with that discussion at this point. Thank you, Jacob. At this time, we're going to do the oath of office. The secretary will administer the oath of office for the Oneida Police Commission, Carol Silva, the Oneida Library Board, Heather Denny and Roxanne Anderson, and the Oneida Land Claims Commission, Daryl Hill.
To the best of my abilities.
To the best of my ability.
On behalf of the United People.
On behalf of the United People.
With honor.
With honor.
Respect.
Respect.
Dignity and sincerity.
Dignity and sincerity.
And will maintain confidential information.
And will maintain confidential information.
With the strictest confidentiality.
With the strictest confidentiality.
I will carry out the duties and responsibilities.
I will carry out the duties and responsibilities.
As a member of the Police Teacher Board.
As a member of the Oneida Library Board.
In all recommendations.
In all recommendations.
Shall be made in the best interest of the Oneida Tribe.
Shall be made in the best interest of the Oneida Tribe.
As a whole.
As a whole.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Right, the next item on our agenda is the approval of the September 24th regular business committee meeting minutes.
Madam Chair, I move to approve the September 24th regular business committee meeting minutes.
Support.
Motion by Trish, supported by DeHasse, to approve the September 24th regular business committee meeting minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The approval of the September 29th Special Business Committee meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Lisa Summers. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by DeHasse Hill. Any questions or comments? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Under resolutions, we're here to ratify the e-poll adopting BC Resolution 92614A regarding the requirement of 3 BC officer signatures to open the Youth Development Fund at Bay Bank, Green Bay.
Madam Chair, motion to ratify the e-poll.
Support.
Motion by Lisa, supported by DeHasse, to ratify the e-poll adopting BC Resolution 92614A regarding the requirement of 3 BC officer signatures to open the Youth Development Fund at Bay Bank, Green Bay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Under the resolutions, to adopt a resolution amending BC Resolution 92414, which appointed members to the Audit Committee, we want to remove the Tribal Treasurer from the Audit Committee and appoint Councilman DeHasse Hill as a replacement. Trish?
Madam Chair, after we did our liaison assignments last 2 weeks ago, or whatever they were, and the appointments were made, we did some research and found that at the time I was kind of insecure about it, so we did some research and we found that with the audit department's research, that it really isn't appropriate for the treasurer to sit on that committee. So I asked Brandon and or DeHasse to consider, and DeHasse won the toss.
Great.
Yeah.
So what's the pleasure of the business committee? Would you like to approve or adopt the resolution that would replace the treasurer as a member of the audit committee and place Councilman DeHasse Hill in her place?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Motion by Trish.
Second.
Seconded by Lisa Summers to adopt the resolution amending Resolution BC 92414, appointing members to the audit committee, removing the tribal treasurer from the audit committee, and appointing Councilman DeHasse Hill as a replacement. Any comments or questions? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Under resolution, the adoption of the resolution recommending the appointment of myself to the National Institute of Health Tribal Consultation Advisory Committee.
Move to adopt, Madam Chair.
Motion by Trish.
Second.
Seconded by Fawn to adopt the resolution recommending the appointment of myself to the National Institute of Health Tribal Consultation Advisory Committee. Any questions? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The Tribal Ombudsman Quarterly Report. Diane? And I would ask that the Division of Land Management be prepared, or Environmental Health and Safety be prepared after that.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I did submit the quarterly report just to highlight a few things, and then if there's any questions, more than willing to entertain the questions. Typically, the reports coming from my office have been structured by identifying the work in the four strategic areas that my office has identified. Those strategic areas originally were created to align with the balanced scorecard. Under the first primary area, the functional development and design of the office is continuing to work on the design and drafting of a system for a process in helping leadership to address concerns related to organizational functions coming from the community. Also working on a matrix to identify the different options and services currently available within the organization to continue to move in the direction that the organization and the tribe is taking as far as cross-functional collaborative work, and then working to identify with the move of the office to a tribal ombudsman where the ombudsman fits in the different areas as those connections are made to make the most collaborative use and cross-functional work teams that are possible for the improvement throughout the organization. As far as for building and maintaining relationships and resources, the Office of the Ombudsman is working to collaborate with different divisions and departments within the organization, again, as we continue to move in a more cross-functional perspective, making use of the resources we currently have versus expending more of our resources. That includes reaching out with different divisions, different programs, to establish those relationships, identify where the Office of the Ombudsman can be of greatest assistance and how the communication between those areas will occur. Also working at maintaining awareness of community concepts, what that's identifying, one of the actions coming within the next month is things such as like partnering through elder services with the meal sites to have the office start to communicate out slowly throughout the community what the function is so that the office is not overly inundated with numerous requests for services. It is an office of one. We want that rollout to be as smooth as possible so that the office is providing the best service to the community and the organization. Let's see. Information and case management. One of the biggest things that I've identified throughout the quarterly report is this is an area that I'm currently revamping, and because of the shift from focusing primarily with one area to organizational wide, the way that the information case management information is communicated out needs to be, one, discussed with the different areas so that they have the understanding of the confidentiality that is connected to the Office of the Ombudsman, but also that ability to share kind of what's going on and how things are being addressed both within the organization and to the community. Under the professional development, the biggest thing is, again, with the shift of the office, looking at the designing ways of the collaboration between areas, working specifically primarily at this point in-house or within the organization, to identify how we collaborate internally, and then also looking at how we use those same resources to collaborate and make those connections within the community to provide that ability for the community to have more of a kind of an initial one-stop place to bring those concerns and then be directed so they have more efficient and expedient resolution to concerns, issues, or questions that they're bringing. Moving as we're going forward, again, kind of the same structure into the functional development design of the office. The office is continuously working on the strategic planning to identify the long-term, mid-range, short-range objectives, outcomes from the office so that can be communicated out so we have measurable actions coming from the office. And a lot of that is looking at the alignment with the strategic directions that the committee has identified. Once those are ratified, then that work can happen so that it's properly aligned. As the Office of the Ombudsman doesn't represent the tribe, it doesn't represent an individual, it's there to represent that fair and equitable process. So having that alignment and how those functions work is going to be critical. Building and maintaining relationships, it's the continuous reaching out and developing those relationships across the divisions, across the areas within the organization and the community. I already addressed the information and case management, focusing on the recording and reporting of the effectiveness of the Office of the Ombudsman to improve the data or the information that's provided out, creating those measurable tools so that the more specific information can be provided, but also maintaining the confidentiality that is required. And then under the professional development, one of the big areas that has been being worked on and is going to continue to be worked on, but yet is taking a little bit of a back seat, is there has been a request from the International Ombuds Association for my office to be a part of the presentations and training that occurs at the annual conference due to the fact that we are working through the budget. I've had communication with them. I did not submit any proposals for this coming year for any of those presentations, but working on how we can potentially move forward. The reason for that is commitment to being there and having those slots and times filled would be required to be identified by the beginning of December. And if we don't have the budget matters addressed at that time, I did not want to consume that space and then take that away or create more issues within the IOA, so that way they had the ability to fill those slots with presenters that would definitely be there instead of any potential last-minute pull-out.
Okay. Any questions from the committee?
Madam Chair, I'd move to accept a report, the Ombudsman's report.
Motion by Trish. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by DeHasse to accept the Tribal Ombuds quarterly report. Any other questions? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Environmental Health and Safety Division quarterly report. Pat. Thanks, Diane.
Good morning. I'll too just point out the highlights of the report. If you have any questions, please interrupt me as needed. The biggest thing from us is with the lake project. It is falling behind schedule, so it looks like we will probably be finishing up probably the early part of the spring. The big holdup was certainly with the weather, but then more recently was, you know, we had to send back the design for the restrooms and changing areas. So that'll all be bid out with handicap fishing piers and also the boat dock and the landing. So that'll all be built out, bid out this winter for an early spring construction. And I'll let the Environmental Resource Board talk about what's going to happen around, you know, grand opening and things of that nature. We have a team set up for that to carry that forward as we bring that to the community. Another thing I wanted to just kind of point out, too, is that we did kick out that Silver Creek Watershed Phosphorus Demonstration Project. We're actually working with New Waters is on the lead with that and working with a lot of partners to actually take a look at the issues on how we might be able to improve removing the phosphorus staff off the lands, which will entail help with those improving water quality as well as the dead zone that's out on the bay. So that's a big project that could really open a lot of opportunities for the United Tribe around what we do on the land in a sense that we could actually then be that treatment facility. And I think most of you have heard me talk about that before. That could actually save New Waters almost $300 million of building a facility and maybe using us in a long-term commitment where they would actually buy those phosphorus removals from us. So just a demonstration to see what that might look like. So we did have the kickoff meeting, so pretty excited about that. Just want to kind of draw attention to the Wisconsin Tribal Conservation Advisory Council. They did give us two volunteers for us, which they're a WCAC employee, to help us out with our invasive species. So they've got to a lot of sites this year to actually try to maintain the increased growth of invasive species that's out there. Certainly around the global climate issues, we're going to be looking at more and more of these invasive species. So as we develop a program, that was a big help having those two team members giving us a hand this year. So just a special thank you to those individuals. Just wanted to highlight the budget a little bit, that we are had a negative variance. And more than that was due to our fringe cost this year has been more than projected. So we're working on making sure that we have worked toward that balanced budget. So the finishing out the 2014 fiscal year. I also want to draw attention to all the grant activities that we had, not just writing grants that continue to be our high focus within our area for the things that we have planned. We're always trying to write these grants so the tribe does not have to pay for those out of the general, you know, fund, the tribal contribution. And we've been pretty successful. You can kind of see the ones that we applied for and then ones we actually received. So I just want to thank the staff for all the extra work that goes in that, and also with the grants office helping us facilitate that through the approval process. So another area I just want to kind of introduce is kind of, we had a big month for public outreach, even teaming up with Division of Land Management on one of them. But as we draw into some of the new programmings and outreach and just kind of introducing a program that we wrote a grant through with Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, is actually try to bring women into the hunting field, not just showing them how to hunt, but show them how to take care of their harvest, and even with meal preparation around, be able to bring those to their family tables and stuff. So pretty excited about that. So I believe Conservation Department has 10 that applied through that program at this time. Another area that I just want to kind of talk about is the BP gas station. We've been able to take the tanks out, take down the building, and remove the soils around the undergrowth tanks at only so far. I think the only expenditure that we had other than direct service, you know, big thanks to Department of Public Works for helping us bring down the building. We've been able to reclaim about $4,000 of the metal recycling. And then also the only fees that we paid for out of the Division of Land Management budget so far was the $4,000 that we had to pay to remove some of the furan. But so everything has been being paid for by outside funds, I guess, too. So it's been really good. In fact, now EPA has agreed to do the final analysis, and that kind of contributes to almost $80,000 worth of final analysis work to once the site's down. Now we're going to find out how much of that, or if any, moved under those buildings, and then we develop a plan for that. So far, so good. We're about breaking even with everybody's help, you know, from Development Division, Department of Public Works, Environmental, and Division of Land Management. So basically getting ready for that, for the planning department to work with the organization to come up with the next thing that'll go in there for the community. So Our electronic clean sweep went very well this year. We had over 15,000 pounds of electronic waste were recycled. Another first quarter success things that we want to get done this quarter is that we've been planting the wild rice to reestablish the wild rice out by Coyote Run. wildlife area, and we have about up to almost 7 acres now. So we're going to go out there this fall and map the success of that. So we do have a lot of migratory that's out there, so they've been really hitting these rice beds hard. But I think we finally found the balance to make sure that those rice beds are able to maintain themselves. So one of the things we said we were going to start, one of our restoration project around the South Branch Swamico River, real similar to what we've done in the Trout Creek, about putting meanders back into the streams and providing better flow, better biology, better keeping the stream cooler. But it's so wet conditions out there, it'll probably cause more damage out there than what we could do. So we're probably going to wait till late spring to actually do that project. I know we had that listed as first quarter project, but we're probably going to postpone that because of the conditions of the weather. And I think that's about it for the highlights.
Any questions, Trish?
I have two questions. One is in regards to the lake. I appreciate everything that's done out there. It's a beautiful lake so far. I kind of snuck back there. I wasn't supposed to, but I'm telling on myself right now, I guess. But I believe that it is a beautiful lake, how it came about, regardless of that. But my concern is in regards to the restrooms and everything, although, you know, just right now it's beautiful as it sits, and then when we start upgrading it, was that an original plan, or is that supposed to be delayed, or, you know, because that's an additional cost that we weren't expecting now, so
it wasn't the original plan when they gave us the bonding funds for that, I believe. Well, you know, a lot has happened since then. I'd have to get back to you on that. I thought it was in the original plan as part of the bonding package, but I don't know if Larry's here. He's the one I would call to see if it wasn't part of the original plan. So,
okay, I'm just asking because if that was part of the plan, then I don't understand the delay in the project overall. Because it's just the community is expecting it, they're waiting it for it, and if we're delaying, either we're delaying knowing that we're delaying or delaying because what kind of problems are we not paying attention to that there is a delay?
No, we were all along. So we have a project team that's assigned through the CIP, and a lot of the conditions that we have had out there was the fact that the weather, you know, that's what really pushed us off that site. It's probably almost 2 months, maybe even more. But then the problem came when we actually shared that design with the electrician, I believe, because I'm not on that portion of the team, so I may need to correct what I just said. But it wasn't going to work on how they had that design, our designer engineering firm. So they had to send that back. So they actually removed that from the bidding package in the beginning. So we awarded the funds because we wanted to get going on the lake in order to expend most of those funds. So those things were pulled off. And because of the structure of the bid, that also the piers were pulled off and as well as the boat landing, because when we rebid that as a whole system, then rebid that portion of it, we were going to save a lot more money in the end. So it's really based on the weather. Those designs were done incorrectly, that our team in Oneida is the one that found the mistakes. And then the third thing is that from a cost savings. So we want to make sure that we bring this thing under budget. So,
Larry, could you answer that?
Yes, the changing rooms and restrooms, that was incorporated in the original scope of the budget.
The bonding fund.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Larry.
And then one other question. You identified that the fringe was more than projected?
Yes.
Can you explain that?
We're still looking into that because we get the numbers right from the organization, what each of our employees get fringed. So then what we do then is incorporate that in our budget a year and a half from ago. You know, so something might have happened within their plan that they changed that we didn't forecast. So those are things that I've asked our office manager to look into. So so it's our concern because we've never been over budget before since I've been here. So because we're getting so tight when the fringe comes in, maybe somebody had a baby. I just don't know that they changed their fringe in the middle of that year and a half as we were putting together that budget. That's what I'm trying to get detailed out. So,
okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm just trying to understand a little bit more because we don't have all of these details.
Right.
And so I'm not trying to put you on a spot. I'm just trying to understand better.
Yeah. Also, some of the increases were because we're trying to project the income as it comes in and put it in the right month. That our income was a month we didn't put that was divided by 12. So we should see some catching up with that too. So from the sales of the licenses and stuff. So. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions from the committee or from the audience? Now the motion to accept the report would be in order.
So moved.
Motion by Trish, seconded by DeHasse, to accept the Environmental Health and Safety Division quarterly report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next is land management, and I would ask that emergency management and homeland security be prepared next.
Okay, so the Division of Land Management, I asked Lauren to be here just in case we had any questions on the fee to trust because she's really the experts in that, and she's really bringing me along, but I'm a slow student at times, so she can help answer any question. Plus, Lauren also helps put together the report, her and Lori, and they do a fine job, I thought, of improving on how we've been reporting. I do want to kind of draw attention to some of our staffing issues that we do have on there. So, as you know, with the passing of an employee and the retirement of the division director, so we've been kind of retooling the division based on, strategies and what should be our specific outcomes, looking at all the SOPs, addressing the audits, being very open to make sure we get the information as we do the audits. But we also been looking at the employee base too. So part of that employee base is that housing actually lost 3 people in a matter of a couple of weeks. So they were really short. And we had an individual down at Division of Land Management that was really good, but she was we looked at it, maybe underutilized just because of her skill sets, and we thought she would fill in a really nice gap. And the team really came together and said, yes, we could probably work without her. She was a lot of our backup around administration, but we felt the greater need was to send them to housing, and they're utilizing her great, and I think Scott's doing a really good job of utilizing that position. So that, we have a cost savings there. But in the meantime, we did have another one of our backups people actually move their family out of state. So we're actually now short in that area. And then our administration assistant actually went on a medical leave. So we're kind of trying to figure all this stuff around administration right now. So we are looking at, when are we starting? Like, we start open the shop at 7 o'clock in the morning. And so I asked the team, well, how many customers do we have from 7 to 8? Well, we have one every 2 months. So we're just trying to restructure, try to put the staff where we're actually bringing in a customer. So we'll probably see some of those things in the future of us kind of really looking at that and working through these shortages that we have. And also with the continuing resolution. And like I said earlier, I think last week, and these weeks all kind of run together. So I think maybe it was this week too, but where we talked about taking 2 of those positions and just, not filling them and just combining them into one and kind of fill more of our gaps in the area. But we'll bring that forward after January. So I think the other area I just kind of wanted to highlight was that we are trying to bring up our systems within Division Line Management. So we have a lot of records that we deal with. Thousands and thousands of records. We have everything on a system through Master Blasters. They nickname it, but it's a big spreadsheet. What we're trying to do is, and it's hard for us to actually query some of the things that we want. Okay, how many lands did we have? Well, we would have to go in there and do that by hand. Or how many of those are in our trust? So we have to go to Lauren and say, okay, of all those acres we have, how many are in a trust? All done by hand. So we're actually working with MIS to actually bring in the Archibus system because we can then use that not just for the inventory of maintenance and stuff, but then we can also use it for pulling out information as people request it. So we want to be able to do a better job, with technology to actually improve some of the information that's being requested of us. So that'll probably be something that you'll be seeing coming forward in the next quarter. And it looks like we're going to be able to fund that through an outside funding grant, so it won't contribute to our bottom line or our net profit will be coming from an outside source. So you can kind of see we did, we purchased the BP during the quarter, and then we did purchase some Dream Homes, and we also worked with the CIP package to purchase Associated Bank. The other highlights I have is we did have a good travel. That was all outside travel where our teams was able to go to the BIA, and it's a very complex land, feed of trust, the title, records management, all these all in one area. So the team brought back a lot of information. Our public outreach this year was our biggest event has been the 19th annual open house. We collaborated this year with environmental zoning planning and housing authority. And the biggest theme was there is was just to show the community what are the services the Division of Land Management provides, environmental, housing, and zoning. We had over 190 people attend. We heard had got a lot of good feedback from that. We also were able to make available two more HBO sites, Home Buyer Opportunity, I believe is what it stands for, where the community actually can do their own building on their land. So we put on additional 115. Well, I'll let Lauren talk about the trust up to this point and how much we're saving, that we will save this year.
Oh, I see. Yeah. For the fourth quarter, there was an additional 115 acres added to the trust land base, and of those 115 acres, it totaled about $109,000 in taxes that are potentially saved because then it just transfers over to the service agreements. We did have a goal to complete 25 feet of trust applications to process them into trust. At the end of the fourth quarter, so for the entire year, we actually were successful in 21 applications being accepted into trust. Of those 21 applications, 14 of those are actually homes in the Green Bay area. And the rest of them, the four applications that we're still waiting for, are actually being accepted within the next couple of weeks. And of those four that we're waiting for, one of them in there is actually the Wisconsin Building Commission, which is actually 1,400 acres in Outagamie County.
On the land into trust issue as well, just so you know, the chairwoman and I sat in a conference call with the Assistant Secretary of the Department of Interior, Kevin Washburn, last week to address the length of time that it has taken for some of our applications to go through the Bureau, especially through the consortium. So he's going to be following up on that issue very quickly. And so when we hear back from him, we'll let you know. So we are concerned about the BIA not or holding up some of our trust applications and not addressing, because they had some concerns around the consortium and conflicts of interest, and they just haven't moved on that issue. So we're encouraging them to get on their horse and make some decisions so that we can continue to put land into trust in that area.
Thank you.
So, and then we just had one follow-up question for that. Well, it was not on that, but we were going to ask it anyway. So did we have an appointment? I didn't see it to the fee to the trust consortium. We requested, you know, Lauren be one of them because there's a past resolution, but we were requesting a business committee. To who is that going to be? Because it was Ed before. Hmm. Or do we need to reintroduce that?
Me?
Oh. Yeah, I thought it was you.
Maybe me.
Okay.
I'll look into it.
Okay, thank you.
I thought it was you because you were coming.
Follow-up question? For clarification, can you help me understand? You stated that there was 115 acres added to trust for the fourth quarter, and that 109,000 of that that would save 109,000 in taxes just for the fourth quarter?
Just for the fourth quarter.
Okay. And then you stated that it transfers to service agreements. Can you help me understand that?
We actually pay for trust properties through the service agreements. We provide funding for services, lights, streets, stuff like that, because it's being taken from the tax base, being placed into trust, we actually provide money through the service agreements for those services that are provided by the counties and the municipalities.
Okay, so it's not really coming back into the tribal contribution component. It's directly allocated to another.
Well, it's a formula base, and Nate probably can give you the formula, or I don't know if the law office can, but it's a formula based on the value of the land. So not all of it's going to go back, but there will be some of it in lieu of taxes. So, but Nate probably can give you a more detailed report. In fact, he's actually working with Green Bay now in conversations with them on the service agreement at this time.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Lisa? I just wanted to reference one of the portions within the report. I like where it says Oneida Sovereignty Land Use. It talks about how many acres you've acquired in the fourth quarter, which is 4.67. And then we currently own 38.3% of the 25,072.48 acres of the original reservation of 65,400 acres. So we own 38.3% of the entire original reservation. So I wanted to point that out and highlight that number as well. Dehase?
The trailer court. I did notice that, you know, they're nearing the end for the asphalt. I know that's been nearing completion, but then the complaint regarding the storage sheds.
Yeah, we did have some issues around the storage shed. So our thing was that, so what the Land Commission wanted us to do is prepare the trailer court into a way where we updated everything back to where then they would take ownership of it, similar to like a dream home. So we would under a residential lease rather than a trailer court. So it would be kind of, the Land Commission was saying, let's create this neighborhood for this the trailer court people who live there, and where then they can, instead of paying the monthly rent to Division of Land Management, that they'd be able to reinvest back in their home. So we teamed up with the Development Division, where we're actually the client of the CIP, to actually do a number of things out there. One was replace the aprons and the sidewalks that were in disrepair, and then also the units out there were sharing up to 3 people per shed out there. So what we wanted to do is give everybody a shed on each one of their site. And it would be a 10-by-10 shed. So we're trying to follow within the guidelines of the zoning requirements, too, that where they could have one shed and it had to be a certain square footage. So in that, we put in the specs, it'd be 10-by-10, and we wanted to make sure it was a metal shed because they would last longer. Well, based on what was put out there, we weren't happy, and the community wasn't happy, and members out there with the sheds, they're not 10-by-10, there's something else. We think there's been a mistake out there. So the Development Division is working with the contractors and designers to see what went wrong on that. So at this point in time, we're waiting to hear back from them so we can get back with the community around these sheds, because eventually then they'll be taking owner of this, of the shed, that'll be part of their improvements then. The other thing we were updating out there, some of them needed to have new updated hookups. So, you know, so part of that was to get some of that work done too. And that's some of the things over the years, you know, from them being in this lease agreement, you know, these are things that we need to continue to do. So, and I think once then we get all these improvements, we'll take this back to the Land Commission. Okay, we met all those things that they have asked us to do out there, including a new road, and we also worked on the library to kind of create a better parking area. Then we would work with the Land Commission then to get those into like the Dream Home program around those residential leases. So where we're at a sticking point now is those sheds. It was not what the community expected out there, and it was not what we expected out there. So we're working on trying to figure that out.
Thank you.
Lisa?
Thank you again for the, and you just enjoy reading your guys' reports.
So, thank you.
But I want to go back real quickly to the land use sovereignty, the Oneida sovereignty land use piece that you put in here. I'm just curious about how far along we are in completing the audit process so that we can continue to move forward. I understand they're coming through with as procedural exceptions at this point. Is that
yes.
correct? So how close are we to being done with this process so we can kind of resume normal activity?
We've addressed every through a management response, and then they said, well, you know, audit said, okay, and you need to go a little further, and said, so we had meetings with them, and then we had meetings with accounting because they would like, the audit says, you know, how we book our assets should be based more on our real estate assets. So accounting's working with us to develop new SOPs around that to implement that. So we're on, you know, we're working with a team to do that. Those other things we've already put into place with the Land Commission around how we get properties ready because of the confidentiality of the properties. Once they are closed, that's when we can share all the information. So we're working on a process to do that, and the Land Commission approved that now. Now we just need to detail that out through a new SOP and then get that up to the audit. So I think we pretty well had addressed everything within that audit of acquisition. So then, you know, the Business Committee and Land Commission then can work together and say, okay, let's remove that moratorium. But in the meantime, you know, through that joint meeting, we're still to bring properties up as procedural exceptions as needed, you know. So you've seen a lot of those, and we're trying to detail those out more as we get those. And when we bring them up for signature, we'll attach all those approvals that we received and dates and stuff.
If the committee's okay, I think when we accept the report, if it's okay if we can have a follow-up motion to maybe get a formal recommendation from you on this, on coming out of this process now for the next report, maybe?
Okay.
Be in three months. Oh, okay. Well,
the Land Commission, you know, this is more outside of our decision-making, so it's actually between the Business Committee and the Land Commission.
Okay, so maybe we have a follow-up motion that we have this conversation with the Land Commission about how to proceed.
Sure. Yeah, and I think they're working on it, because the last thing that we, you know, within the you know, because we don't get all the funds within the 2033 plan, the audit says we need to have a better strategy. So the 2033 plan was about an opportunity of trying to gain back 75% of all the lands within those quadrants. But because we're not getting all those that GTC monies that the GTC set aside because of the budget, which was written in the motion too, it has to be affordable, we have to develop 1 to 3 year strategies. So we're working with the Land Commission with teams from the organization to actually draw out those 1 to 3 year strategy, specifically around criteria. And that's also what the audit said, is that how do we know that division land management is successful? That's a question for the Land Commission. You know, so they'll use that criteria then based on what we bring for them for approval. So
any other questions for Pat? Not a motion to accept the Division of Land Management quarterly report.
So moved.
Support.
Motion by Lisa, supported by DeHasse. Any other questions or comments from the audience? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Is there a follow-up motion?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Lisa.
I'd like to make a follow-up motion for the Land Commission liaison to begin the dialogue with the Land Commission around transitioning out of the standing BC motion, which suspends all acquisition. Okay.
There's a motion. Is there a second? Seconded by Fawn. To request the Land Commission, the Business Committee Land Commission liaison to begin the dialogue with the Land Commission to begin transitioning out of the Business Committee motion that places a moratorium on land purchases per the audit, right?
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Emergency Management and Homeland Security. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Lauren. I was going to call you Laura. It's Lauren.
Good morning. I guess I'll just do the same thing, is just highlight a few of the things in the report. The biggest thing that emergency management has been working on over the last quarter is the closing out of the fiscal year 2014 emergency management performance grant. We submitted 8 emergency support functions to the regional director for approval. What those are is I work with the different departments through the tribe, whether it's DPW, the police department, communications, environmental health and safety, and the emergency support functions outline what each of those departments are responsible for, or what their capabilities and availabilities are during an emergency or disaster. And so I worked with them to finalize those and then submit them to the regional director for approval, and then they get added to the emergency response plan. Then emergency management, I participated in the Elder Expo and did a presentation at the Elder Meal site for the elders about what emergency management does, kind of talking to them about preparedness and what they could do for the coming months of winter to get themselves prepared. Handed out about 20 weather radios to at the 10 at the expo and then 10 at the Elder Meal site presentation. I'm in the process of updating the actual emergency response plan that the tribe has. It's currently 182 pages. Working with my regional director, we found a way to, through the submission of the ESFs, actually make that document about 45 pages and then add the ESFs on the end. So that's kind of a been a long-standing process.
Can you clarify what ESF is?
That's the Emergency Support Function. Okay. Right. Yep, so adding those to the end of the emergency response plan will make the emergency response plan a little bit longer, but will drastically cut down on the document the way that it currently is. As far as plans, I've been working with Judicial. There was an exercise that was performed with the Head Start on the 26th of September. We had a tabletop exercise. There's a bunch of different departments that participated, and through that, we've identified some the reunification plans that need to be worked on for if there's ever an evacuation. We've kind of identified some more departments within the tribe that can assist with that, how we would work on our traffic plans, how would we work on our transportation plans and things such as that. And as far as the grants part is concerned, as I stated, we closed out the fiscal year 2014. All of the required documents are being submitted. There will be a document coming from finance that will be sent to either the vice chair or the treasurer to sign. What it is, it's all the financials that come through as far as reporting out for payroll and stuff like that. That ends the grant, as well as the application for 2015. It's the projected payroll that will be paid for that year. I did attach the pre-award letter from the state for the fiscal year 2015 about what our projected grant funding will be at the end of 2015, as long as all the deliverables are accomplished in the grant.
Any questions for Kaylin? I just had one. So Kaylin and I just experienced a little emergency over the weekend whereby a wastewater treatment spill had occurred not on the reservation but close to our tributary, and because of the rain there was a concern that there could be wastewater leaking into our stream. Kaylin followed her protocol, and I was the one to be contacted at 11:30 at night. And she asked for authorizations. And I think what I'm asking is for the committee maybe to consider motioning to request her to come in and do some training so that we all understand, because there's a list. If the chair is not available, the vice chair is not available, and then it continues downward to get a hold of somebody. And I think I really would like the committee to understand, you know, if she did need money, where is that money coming from? You know, do we have a fund established for emergencies within environmental land? Where are those dollars coming from? What if it was a tornado or an actual disaster? How do we respond and react? So from my perspective, I know that every business committee tries to have that training, but I think that this one, from experience, we should probably have that training for all of us at the, you know, from the business committee perspective. Lisa?
Madam Chair, motion to accept the report from emergency management.
Okay. Motion by Lisa, seconded by DeHasse to accept the emergency management homeland security report. Any other questions for Kaylin from the audience? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Follow.
Lisa?
I make a follow-up motion to have the emergency management and homeland security personnel work with the secretary's office to set up training regarding the protocols for emergencies. I'm sorry. Can we include finance in that as well?
Of course. Okay. Motion by Lisa.
Second.
Seconded by Pafon. Any other comments or questions on that motion? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Self-governance report. Lisa?
Madam Chair, this report was submitted. However, it was not submitted by the requested deadline, so therefore it has been moved to the October 22nd BC agenda, so a motion to defer would be in order. I also want to thank the Chairwoman's office for promptly following up with the self-governance director to make sure that the report was submitted.
Is that a motion to defer?
Yes.
Okay, motion to defer the self-governance report to the October 22nd BC agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Fawn. Chris?
Yeah, I'd just like to thank you for doing that. As a matter of fact, I had intended on asking for a delay, a deferral until then, because as we speak, the both of the self-governance advisory committees are meeting in Washington, and I would then have the latest up-to-date information for you. So I had intended on doing that. It was my oversight. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Chris.
Appreciate that. So a motion to defer the self-governance report to the October 22nd Business Committee meeting. Any other comments or questions? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Oneida Housing Authority.
Madam Chair,
yep,
we have the election board quarterly report.
I don't have
oh, I'm
on
sorry.
My agenda.
No, I'm sorry.
Housing Authority?
I skipped on.
It indicates that there was no report that was submitted.
Yes, Madam Chair, this is one that the business committee needed to have dialogue around because of the merger or the potential merger that's taking place between the two areas. The housing report has been absorbed by the development division director and the environmental health and safety director. So right now I'm going to request make a motion to permanently delete the required housing authority report because those items are being reported as noted.
Okay. Motion by Lisa. Their support. Seconded by Trish to permanently delete the Oneida Housing Authority quarterly reports. They will no longer be required to submit the reports because they're incorporated with Development Division and Land Management. All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. There are no items in corporate reports, so we'll go to boards, committees, and commissions. The Oneida Land Claims Commission, Amelia.
Good morning.
Morning. Good morning.
Just want to make sure it was still morning. To start with, I'd like to apologize for the delay in the reports. There was miscommunications between Jennifer and I on the reports, the quarterly reports, that is. However, we are requesting some follow-up. Eric McGlester resigned. And we need to have that position posted. I believe that request was submitted already. And the other one is we thought Daryl would be doing oath of office today, and that did not occur again. So that position is still sitting out there then.
I can give that.
Go ahead.
Loretta Matoxin, Vice Chair. It's very important that we have this posted and appointed as quickly as possible in that we have seven members and we have two vacancies, so if one of us is ill or out of town, we don't have a quorum.
I believe, I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I believe that we did receive the request to post, so we are going through the process to get that completed. And then Mr. Hill was notified today to come and take his oath to be sworn in. I'm not sure why he didn't come. So we'll continue to follow up with him as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's in process. One of the issues I wanted to bring up, excuse me, is the report that we got from Arlinda Locklear, regarding the Petrella case, which is the congressional statute of limitations on the claim. It says the court cannot dismiss a federal claim based on equitable passage of time defense. And I believe she's been working with the law office on getting them to submit an amicus brief in support of the Stockbridge, because I believe they're fighting this. And I don't know if... And basically, the Land Commission would like a meeting with the Business Committee, probably the Law Office, and Nate.
And Arlinda.
Oh, definitely Arlinda.
Okay. We'll honor that.
Are you aware, has a brief been submitted? Has the Stockbridge submitted?
Joanne, are you aware of any? We're not. This is the first that I've seen it. So...
Madam Chair.
Joanne, respond real quick, Loretta. Thank you.
The Business Committee authorized the Law Office to participate in this by filing an amicus brief about 2 weeks ago. The timeline hasn't yet run, and so we have not yet finalized the brief and presented it to the Business Committee for approval.
Okay. Yes, we did see it. Right? Okay. Maybe because the name is different, Petrella. Yeah.
Well, that's what it says here, Petrella.
Right.
I mean, that, to me, that's the whole issue of latches.
And yeah, that's Madam
what they dismissed our case on.
Go ahead. Madam Chair and Business Committee, this is an extremely important point. I don't know if our strategy will be a two-pronged effort, one with Congress and also one with court, or which one comes first based on this new information, that we may be able to go back through the court if this case is won with the Stockbridge.
Right. The strategy hasn't changed from the last time we've spoken with the Land Claims Commission.
Okay.
Which we don't disclose in open
session. Right. Well, that's why we were hoping for a meeting.
Yeah. We're looking for a meeting as soon as possible. We didn't have the follow-up meeting that we were planning from the last meeting yet. So we're looking for that meeting as soon as possible to get our ducks in a row on all the strategy.
Right. And as you know, the Business Committee has been transitioning since the day that we took office. And
Right. We're
just now settling into our roles. And so we appreciate, and we will definitely, I'll speak with the secretary to see if we can set something up or get you in one of our work meetings or how to include that meeting somehow. Okay.
And that's basically where we're at.
Any questions for the Land Claims Commission? And we'll work on getting your appointments done.
Thank you.
All right. Yep. Motion to accept the report would be in order.
Support.
Motion by Trish. Seconded by DeHasse to accept the Oneida Land Claims Commission report.
Madam Chair, Lisa? For clarification, there are actually two reports to be accepted.
Yes.
So to accept both reports. Okay. Sure. All right, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The Oneida Election Board.
Madam Chair, follow-up motion, please.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Lisa.
My follow-up motion is to have the Land Claims Commission liaison work with the Land Claims to set up a follow-up meeting with them.
Okay. There's a motion by Lisa, supported by Trish, to have the Business Committee Land Claims Commission liaison follow-up with the Oneida Land Claims Commission to...
Okay.
Work to set up a follow-up meeting.
That was Brandon.
Okay. So all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Michelle, Oneida Election Board quarterly report. And for the audience, this is the quarterly report for the election board, not the certification of the judiciary elections. That's later on the agenda. Okay. Michelle?
The quarterly report is submitted for April, May, and June, and pretty much the highlights were getting ready for the general election in July. That's what we focused on in that quarter. That's it. That's what we focused on.
You have the report before you. Any questions for the election board at this time? No? If not, a motion to accept the report.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by DeHasse to accept the Oneida Election Board's quarterly report. Any questions? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The Oneida Police Commission.
Madam Chair,
okay.
The Police Commission, from the previous meeting, the Police Commission did not submit a report. There was a request to follow up. That was completed. My understanding is that the Police Commission has submitted their report. It was submitted after the deadline for this meeting. So it can be placed on the, I guess, on the next BC meeting. But I also have notes here from Agenda Review that there was some discussion about putting this topic on the next BC work meeting as well. So if we can get some additional clarification on that, it would be appreciated.
So a motion to defer to the Oneida Police Commission's report to the October 22nd Business Committee meeting?
Well, I guess that's my question to the committee, because we've already deferred it once because it wasn't submitted timely and we sent the notice. My understanding as of last Thursday when Agenda Review was completed, the report still had not been submitted. And so there was some conversation around what to do next, because we have already taken the action to not to withhold the stipends until the report is submitted and accepted. So it's now been submitted. It was submitted late. So I guess I'm looking to the committee to determine what next step that you would like. If you want it to just go to the next BC meeting, or do you want an additional conversation to happen with the Police Commission about making sure their reports are getting provided timely?
So even if they submitted it timely, it didn't get in our packet. So
correct.
We haven't had a chance to review it.
Correct.
So I'd make a motion to defer it to the October 23rd BC meeting.
Okay. Second.
Okay. Motion by Trish to defer the Oneida Police Commission report to the October, is it the 22nd? 22nd Business Committee meeting. Seconded by Fawn. All those, any questions or
just for clarification?
Go ahead, Fawn.
I do have a note for the Police Commission to move to the work meeting, but it just says to address this issue. And is it because it's always being late?
Okay. Yes, please. Thank you.
The motion on the floor right now is to defer the Oneida Police Commission quarterly report to the October 22nd Business Committee meeting. Any other discussion?
Just for clarification, Madam Chair, that the previous Business Committee motion from September 24th would still apply until the Business Committee accepts the report.
Okay. All right. Any other questions or comments on this? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Follow-up motion, Madam Chair. I'll make a follow-up motion to move the conversation regarding boards, committees, and commission reports to the next BC work meeting in order to establish what occurs if boards, committees, and commissions continue to not submit reports after they're noticed.
Okay. Motion by Lisa, seconded by DeHasse. Any comments or questions on that? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Oneida Library Board. Carol? Dr. Carol? Good morning.
My goodness. I haven't seen you in a while.
Everybody's saying they haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, Segu, so great.
Segu.
First, I apologize for the report being late, but I just was kind of just came on and got appointed as acting secretary. So I'm doing catch up. Actually, you have me on there as the chair, and Carol Elm is the chair of the committee. Just a couple of highlights. We have had to change the closing hours to a little bit earlier because there's been a lot of vandalism in Site 1. And our staff is all female, and they did not feel safe going out after dark, late after 8 o'clock. So we changed it earlier to 6 and adjusted. There's still the same amount of hours, just a little earlier. Shelving units and the carpet in the back part, the adult section, were deemed unsafe. And Lou just moved very quickly, and they have a grant, and they replaced the shelves and the carpeting through a grant, and you should go see it. It's not a dungeon anymore. It's bright, and it's clear, and it is a really nice place to go. And the summer reading program went well. 11 young people won a tablet for the amount of reading that they did, and I'm sure they appreciate that. And that was about it, just to say that how wonderful it is to go into our Oneida Library. And it's just teeming with children, young adults, adults, elders, and everyone's busy and doing things, and it's just a fantastic atmosphere for our community.
Lisa? Yeah, just a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
On the report, your attendance for July and August, it's a significant jump.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because of the contest that you guys ran? Or?
It's always higher in July because of the summer reading program.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions from the committee or from the audience? If not, a motion to accept the report would be in order.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Trish, seconded by Fawn to accept the Oneida Library Board's quarterly report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Environmental Resource Board, Richard Baird, the chairman. And his bodyguards.
The royal coffee getter.
To lighten the room up a little bit.
Good morning. In our objective statement, we did do the Earth Day event, and in conjunction with Environmental Health and Safety, we pulled funds together to hold that event over at Culture Heritage, and that was successful, along with the youth and elder fishing event. That was either the week before or the week after. I don't remember. The grant for the energy efficiency deployment, Safe Routes to School, Laura can talk about that, but she's involved in that one.
Sure. So if you look on the front, the energy efficiency audits were completed, and we spent all of the grant money, which is nice. The Safe Routes to School is currently, the construction documents are being let. We anticipate that the construction will start in the springtime, and that's the trail that goes from the library, past the Ball Diamonds, past the Stone Church, past Parish Hall, over Bread Creek or Silver Creek, and over to the Green Earth or the Green Valley housing area. It'll actually be able to get you all the way to the health center. So I think that's going to change our community, give people more ability to get around without having to drive, and it gives the elders mobility from the elderly services area to get to church if they want to walk to church on a Sunday or for other events. So we're really excited about that. That project has been in the works for quite some time. We do have a trails team, and the next trail that I would like to focus on is getting from Cornelius Circle to Site 2 as a big, big project. And then the smaller projects would be from getting from Tall Feather over to the Site 2 area. The kids are already walking on a trail that they've created. It's all wet there most of the time. And you can see a path if you go down H from Tall Feather by the behind the trailer court area going over to Site 2. So it's great when you can allow the children or the pedestrians to figure out where the path should be, and then you can just build it permanently rather than creating a path that maybe they don't want to use. So that's the strategy that we're using.
I was about to ask that question because both Dehasi and I live on that side of the reservation. And there's no trails, and we just got done talking with the Outagamie County about the safety concerns over at Telfer the Way and the kids crossing the roads there, and there's no trails coming from site to the recreation center, and then kids are biking in the morning too to come to the Turtle School as well, and there's nothing for them, you know, that's a pretty long haul from Telfeather, from H to the school, and we're getting concerned because we've seen firsthand kids almost getting hit on the road, and I really don't, honestly, don't want to wait for a fatality to occur in order for us to move. So I appreciate the fact that you're focusing somewhat on that area in the near future.
So our biggest challenge is the funding. And we do have Mike Finn, who is the transportation coordinator on our team, but we have never gotten access to any funding to do our projects. It's always been outside funds. And so there'll be some changes with, you know, the way we manage ourselves, and maybe we can get access to that funds, because if we have the money, we have proven to you that we can spend it in a good way for the community. And so far, that's been the disconnect, is we have the ideas, we have the professional people, but we don't have the funds. They're caught up in another program. So,
well, I'm hoping that with the development or the get-going of CDPC or the Community Development Planning Committee, that those ideas will hopefully be funded a lot more quickly once we get ourselves educated, trained in that area, and then get meeting in a couple months. So, Chad?
I know you have nothing to do, but next Tuesday, 10 o'clock until noon, is our next Trails team meeting over at Ridgeview.
The what?
Trails team meeting.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Any other highlights?
Yeah, the maps on the back of the report, the we created maps for the in connection with GLIS and environmental health and safety, in connection with the public use of tribal lands law, and the signage is starting to go up at some of those properties, and the business committee was generous enough to provide the funding for some of that signage. So that project is underway.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have.
Questions for the Environmental Resources Board? Any from the audience? If none, a motion to accept the report.
Support.
Motion by DeHasse, seconded by Trish, to accept the Environmental Resources quarterly report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, guys. Oneida Gaming Commission. No report submitted, Madam Secretary?
No.
So a motion to direct the secretary to notify the Gaming Commission of their delinquent report and of the reporting, remind them of the reporting expectations and deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
Motion by Fawn. Is there support?
Support.
Supported by DeHasse. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. And to...
Yeah. I think this is another item that I would request that we all include this topic also in the previously deferred one, because I don't think that we have elected boards, committees, and commissions are a little different. So if we can defer, I'll make a subsequent motion to defer that part of the conversation also to the work meeting so that we can figure out how to include the elected boards, committees, and commissions as well. But I'll still send the notice.
A motion by Lisa, supported by DeHasse. Can you restate the motion to make it clear, please?
Yeah. Motion to include the elected boards, committees, and commissions in the accountability process when reports are not submitted on the October 14th BC work meeting agenda.
Thank you. Any questions or comments on that motion? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions, motion carries. Oneida Personnel Commission.
Madam Chair, there was no report submitted from this body as well by the deadline. However, they did submit a report after the deadline, and it is not complete. There's additional information that's still coming from them.
Okay. So what do you want to do?
I'll make a motion. Because we've already received the report, I don't think we need to send their notice. We've already done that. And Reese already provided them with an additional copy of the reporting schedule. But I will make a motion to halt any and all stipends to the Oneida Personnel Commission until the delinquent report is accepted by the Oneida Business Committee.
Okay, there's a motion by Lisa. Is there support?
Support.
Supported by Fawn. Any comments or questions? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Under cost containment reporting, there is no requested action at this time. Under the Legislative Operating Committee, they accept the LOC meeting minutes of July 30th.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Motion by Trish. Your second? Seconded by DeHasse. Any comments or questions on the minutes? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Minutes of August 15th, 2014.
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn Billy to accept the LOC meeting minutes of August 15th. Any questions? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Accept the LOC meeting minutes of September 17th, 2014. Motion by Trish, seconded by DeHasse to accept the meeting minutes of September 15th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next is the adoption of the emergency amendments to the Oneida Nation Gaming Ordinance. Lynn?
Last June, the LOC, or the BC, actually, there were amendments made regarding ONGO to remove references to the Appeals Commission and include the judiciary into that law. After those amendments were made, we were required to send ONGO to NIGC for approval, and during their review of ONGO, they discovered a few things that were out of compliance with the current regulations. So we're asking for emergency amendments because there's three issues that NIGC brought forward that they would like to see changed before they approved the amended ONGO. So these emergency amendments have to deal with a request from NIGC. So the first is about making sure that anybody who's interviewed for a background investigation, that their identity remains confidential. Retaining records for 3 years after an employee is terminated, where we currently have a 7-year requirement, and it's from the time that they are hired, not from the time that they're terminated. And then the last one is regarding updating the commission or updating NIGC on any gaming commission decisions regarding a revocation of a license when NIGC has been involved with the licensing decision, because they provided information to the gaming commission that maybe the license should not have been issued or is no longer valid because of some activities that have occurred since the license was issued. So they want an update, and under their regulations, the gaming commission is required to give them an update on what happened based on a hearing held for that license. So those are the emergency amendments based on the NIGC request.
Questions from the committee? Lisa?
I just had a question about the change in the number of years for the records retention. Does that conflict with anything that we have in place with HRD or open records and meetings law that we might have to subsequently do?
I believe under the open records law, it requires that if there is no retention schedule, that we save things for 7 years, but that the individual law, because if it's more specific, that is what is the rule. That's my understanding.
Second.
The motion by DeHasse to adopt the resolution that would adopt the emergency amendments to the Oneida Nation Gaming Ordinance, seconded by Vaughn Billy. Any comments or questions? Kathy?
Could you all speak into the mics, please? Because I'm sitting right by the speaker. I really didn't hear what Lisa said, and it was hard to hear DeHasse.
There was a motion to adopt the resolution that would amend the Oneida Nation Gaming Ordinance. And so I was asking for any comments or questions.
I understand that.
If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is the LOC is requesting the Business Committee to accept the memo regarding the legislative analysis that was requested by the Business Committee on the Higher Education Student Handbook changes as information. Can you give an overview, Lynn, because this was a carryover from the previous Business Committee.
Okay, so last term the BC asked that there be a legislative analysis conducted on some changes that higher ed was proposing on funding. These changes would have been made to the higher education handbook, and they were to no longer fund certificates ineligible for Title IV funding, requiring all eligible degrees or programs to be Title IV eligible, no longer extending terms of funding except for some grandfathered in people, and allowing students with 1 to 5 credits to be eligible for funding for tuition and books. When this came to the BC, or this was brought to the BC because it was noticed by higher education that some changes were coming, so the BC took it up and requested that a legal analysis and a legislative analysis be conducted to determine whether these changes could be done. So because the higher education handbook, it doesn't go through the LOC, it's not legislation. As part of our analysis, we're saying this handbook hasn't been approved by LOC. It's out there. Higher education really is in charge of the handbook. So it's not really clear what we're analyzing. Are we only analyzing the changes? Do you only want the handbook? So we're requesting that the legislative analysis doesn't seem to be necessary, and also there was a hold put on these changes. I know higher education had come to the LOC meeting and said that they were working with the law office on these changes, and I'm not quite sure where they're at in the process. So,
it's my understanding from the last business committee, the concern was, and has been for quite some years, that the determination of what programs, certificates, et cetera, qualify under higher education funding is somewhat the discretion of higher education, but that the business committee or elected officials have expressed their desire to have these codified into law somehow because of the General Tribal Council motion wasn't clear, but the rules continue to evolve, and there seems to be it's okay if higher education changes the rules, but then when it becomes very political or community oriented, then and it gets heated, then it comes to this political body, and then this political body seems to want to act and say we want those rules codified into law somehow. So did the LLC have that type of a discussion?
No.
Joanne, do you have a update on where you guys are at with higher education?
Pat Garvey is assigned to work with the Higher Education Office. Our advice has been consistent insofar as the General Tribal Council has set specific requirements and minimum requirements for the Oneida Scholarship, that is not something that can be deviated from, that it would have to come back to the Business Committee and likely to the General Tribal Council as a recommendation from the Business Committee. But insofar as the Higher Education Department has created over the years programs, scholarship programs, which it operates, it has the authority to modify those scholarship programs. Pat has been reviewing the handbook itself, which is an informational document with Higher Education Department. I believe that it's ongoing, but I defer to they're nodding. Yes, it is ongoing. So if the business committee wants this placed into a law format, my recommendation would be to adopt a motion that directs the Legislative Operating Committee to develop a law regarding the Oneida Scholarship Programs. Otherwise, we will remain in this particular status quo where if they want to change the scholarship program adopted by the General Tribal Council, it has to be brought back to this body. If they want to change their programming, they may do so. They should document those changes.
What's the pleasure of the business committee on this issue?
I know for myself, I think it needs more work. I'm not 100% convinced that we should just accept the memo from LOC at this point and let it drop, because while I completely understand the department's need to have the latitude to implement the resolution, at the same time, it seems like there is a little bit of a line or a gray area there that we need to clarify about what the implementation portion of it versus what's actually funded. And I think that's where we need more clarity around what that is, because, for example, in the cover that we have today, it says that we're no longer, the proposal was to no longer fund certificates ineligible for Title IV funding, and require eligible degrees to be Title IV eligible. Where is that? To me, my question is, where is that requirement in the General Tribal Council resolution in order to say we can make that change? Or is it unclear because that's something totally different, and it's not something it's something that's outside the scope of the General Tribal Council resolution? So I guess I need more clarity around this. I'm not ready to say we shouldn't not have it here. So I guess I'm willing to go back and accept Chief Counsel's recommendation to have this item be sent back to the Legislative Operating Committee for further development and be brought back to the Business Committee when ready.
That's a motion?
Yes.
Motion by Lisa. Is there support?
Support.
Motion by Lisa, supported by Trish, to defer the higher education handbook issue back to the Legislative Operating Committee for further discussion and development of a law that would... Okay, make some clarity here.
I guess I need more of an analysis, I guess, brought back. I don't, because the request that you have on the agenda for today is very specific about these are the four things that we were asked to look at. And we're saying, what I'm hearing you say in your memo is that you don't believe that that needs to be completed. I guess I'm disagreeing with that, because I need to understand more from the DTC's resolution perspective versus the implementation of the process. What is the process? That's higher ed's responsibility. We all know that. But what is contained within the GTC resolution, and who has the authority to modify that or not modify that? That's the part where I'm hazy on, and I need more information in order to be able to make a better decision.
So it's not necessarily asking for a law.
Right.
Norbert? These recommendations were simply administrative measures to manage the higher education program. We probably have the most flexible and generous scholarship program in the nation, and I think to be good stewards and accountability, some changes were made, but it doesn't violate the resolution in any which way. So I think, Lisa, what you're talking about a larger question rather than what's before you.
Well, actually, just for clarification, I'll use number three as an example, no longer extend terms for funding unless you're grandfathered in. Where in the resolution is that allowed?
It's not in the resolution. When the resolution was made,
Right. Higher
education is such a moving target, and to create laws every time they change would be too cumbersome for all of this.
Right, and that's my point. The broader question is it's not specifically identified, so we're trying to create rules around that to administer it appropriately, and I understand that. And I actually appreciate all the work that you guys do, because it is a very difficult task, because it is ambiguous at points. What I'm saying, though, is that if we decide to cut somebody off for funding because they've extended their number of terms that have been identified, is that decision belong here, or is that decision belong at the higher ed office level? I'm not sure, and that's the analysis that I'm looking for, to say where does that decision-making belong, so that I know and I'm clear about it, and so that we can make a better decision.
Okay. I just think it's a different question, though, you're asking.
I'm just using that as an example.
I actually think Lisa's points are valid, but my recommendation would be, frankly, you don't need additional analysis in order to come to the conclusion that those questions are unanswerable given the status of the resolution and the directive of the General Tribal Council. That resolution was adopted many years ago. And at that time and place, our higher educational system existed in a different format. There are so many options available today that higher education is being incredibly flexible in trying to work around all of these new options that were not available when that resolution was adopted. It is an appropriate and it's actually it's a necessary action that the business committee and the legislative operating committee should take up in order to provide clarification on the new systems available and how our scholarship program will be applied. In addition, since it's been adopted, the application of that resolution has identified many areas which need further direction. Higher education has taken up many of these questions and attempted to offer solutions and standard procedures in a consistent manner. They've been successful for the most part, but at this point, they are in need of further direction. I believe that this is a prime opportunity for the Legislative Operating Committee to pick up this subject matter, draft some good, strong language regarding the scholarship program and its application and provision of direction that can move them into the next 20 or 30 years of the scholarship program, providing educational opportunities for our children.
Trish? Thank you, Joanne, because that's exactly what I thought Lisa was asking for. But if we're not clear on it, then I guess that would make it clear, because what we're looking is for to fill the gap where the ambiguity is at, so that everybody is clear and we don't keep going back. Every year we get faced with this. So it's like the hunting, fishing, trapping law. there's changes that are made annually and regularly that should be an administrative procedure, yet we trip over ourselves when we try to implement those. So that was my reasoning for supporting the idea of putting it back in the LLC and asking them to look at it further. Thank you.
So there is a motion on the floor by Lisa and seconded by Trish. And so can you provide clarity about what the motion is?
Okay, so I'll clarify and restate the motion.
Thank you.
I'll motion that this item be sent back to the Legislative Operating Committee for a draft, I guess, I don't know if it law or policy, I'll let the LLC decide, come back to the Business Committee when ready.
If you put policy in there, I can accept that, because I think that's we're looking for that procedure, really.
Okay. The motion is to send this issue back to the LLC for a draft of a law or policy or whatever they determine, and to bring back when ready. So you're okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. The motion's been made and seconded. Any questions or comments on that? Okay, Cheryl. The motion is made by Lisa and seconded by Trish to send the higher education student handbook issue back to the Legislative Operating Committee for a draft law or policy, which will be determined by the LLC, whether it's law or policy, and to bring back to the Business Committee when ready. Any comments or questions? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item from the LLC is to consider outstanding items from the 2011-2014 LLC active files list.
Outstanding items.
Lynn?
Last term, the BC had deferred a number of items to the LLC that were still outstanding at the end of the term. And this LOC has reviewed those items, and in this memo are a few things that they have decided that they will not be pursuing. So they wanted to give the BC just kind of a notice that they're not going to be pursuing these things, and if it's something you want the LOC to take up this term, you'll have to bring that back to them again. The first one is the human resources reorganization. That was deferred to the LOC, and it's kind of been wrapped up into an employment law, which the LOC will be still pursuing this term. The health board bylaws.
Put that in a memo.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Because it sounds like you're just taking away, not doing it.
Right. Sorry. The health board bylaws were also outstanding. We had last term kind of come to a standstill at the BC level, whether it would be an advisory board or a board with authority overseeing the health care division. And then the personnel policies and procedures, the area manager appeals. This is another thing that could possibly be remedied under the employment law. But again, this particular amendment to the personnel policies is not going to be pursued at this time. The only other or another thing that's outstanding would be the GTC meeting stipend payment policy amendments. This was a request that was brought by a tribal member to the LOC last term, or to the BC last term, and it was deferred to the LOC regarding changing how stipends are made at the GTC meetings. Since that was brought in this past July, there were three referendum questions, or there was a referendum question that GTC answered this past July saying that they did not want to discontinue the stipend. And because of that, the LOC is wondering whether we should pursue this other request about changing how the GTC stipends are made. So there was a lot of research done last term, and there is a report out there regarding some different options, some three different options about, well, not changing the stipend report, changing into a $125 gift card, or allowing members to decide whether they want a $125 gift card or the current payment. So that's where we ended last term with that. So based on what has happened since that, over the summer, the LOC is requesting whether we should still pursue this, bring it back to GTC, or if based on the referendum, you want to just let it drop. The furlough policy is also outstanding. It's actually was adopted on an emergency basis and will be expiring next week. The LOC does not plan on pursuing any further emergency action with regards to this policy at this time, and I don't know if they're considering any permanent action. I don't think that was decided. And the last outstanding thing is the Personnel Commission legislation, which was deferred to LOC last term without any further direction or backup. So it's not really clear as to what they would like to see in this type of legislation. So those are the outstanding things that the LOC is asking the BC to either provide further direction on or just to inform you that we're not going to pursue them without further direction.
Just a question on the referendum questions. Mm-hmm. It says the final question was, should it be discontinued? The answer was no. But then the alternative options, what was the result of the what was the result of those referendum questions? They were three separate questions, correct?
Right, and they were all voted down.
They were all voted down.
Yes.
By 70 votes.
30 votes. Just our discussion from the LOC was that this election did kind of answer the question, even though it was close, only 30 votes between yes and no for continuing the stipend. But at this point, we're short-staffed in the LOC, and there was probably 30-some agenda items on the active files list, so we were trying to narrow it down, our scope of work, so we can actually get something done, because it was already too deep for us just stepping in to be able to work on everything that was there. And this was one that was, clearly answered by the community, but not definitely answered by the community because it was so close. But this was just one of the items that we were talking about. Well, we'll send it back up to the BC, see if they want us to continue to work on this or not. But, from the LOC's perspective, it was answered, and it was just we were just trying to sort through the things that we really want to get done in the LOC, and this didn't really rise to one of the priorities for the LOC and also the business committee, because I know there's a lot of stuff that we kept on the agenda that has to do, with reorganization and a lot of other important activities that we need to take up. And this one, I guess, didn't rise to the top. It would be nice if we could do something with this, but we really want to focus on what is really important to get done in this next 3 years.
Lisa?
For this particular item, the stipend, I don't like it, but I do agree that the numbers don't show that there's potentially support there to get it amended or rescinded at General Tribal Council. So I agree with not making this a priority and putting it more to the wayside at this point. I was the one who brought this item forward as a tribal member request, and I committed to doing that because there were several tribal members who asked about, is there an opportunity for us to have this conversation again? And I committed to bringing the question forward, and I think I fulfilled that obligation that I committed myself to by bringing the question forward. The former secretary, Secretary Heft, also took an initiative to ask this referendum question on the ballot last year. And I think that the numbers indicate to us at this point that there isn't going to be enough momentum to have any real meaningful action at this point. I think we're close. I think we're close to at least having the dialogue. People can continue to still have the dialogue. And I think that's a good thing. But I think at this point, I agree with the LOC's analysis that with all the other pending items that we are asking them to do, that this item could be just dropped from the priority list at this point.
My only question, though, is that the membership was asked at the 2014 July election via a referendum question. And so does that require us to go to General Tribal Council, which I believe it does?
No.
To
report out. Only if it's affirmative.
Oh, if it's affirmative. So the question regarding the GTC meeting stipend payment policy, does the business committee agree that that issue will not move forward?
I can agree to that. I'm not 100% satisfied, but I can agree to it.
You can live with it.
I can live with it.
I mean,
there's
several questions in this memorandum that we need to answer, that being one of them. So I'm trying to get us to answer the questions.
Yeah.
Okay. The second question then is the business committee is asking that the human resources reorganization, but the employment law will still be worked on, but the HR reorganization, health board bylaws, and personnel policies and procedures regarding area manager appeals be deleted from the active files list, but that they're notifying the business committee because these were directives from the business committee. So,
Trish? I just have a question on the appeals. On the appeals one, is that answered somewhere else now, or if we don't address it, will it leave us in a situation where we don't have a process or a law to handle it?
Well, right now the judicial system is accepting appeals from supervisors. What's happening is that supervisors are appealing area manager decisions on discipline actions, and that is what that issue is about. So those cases are being accepted.
Well, I was thinking it was the administrative before it gets to that level. Internally, our appeals process.
Oh. Is something going on internally?
Huh?
Are you asking me if they're doing something internally to stop this or to remedy this?
No, I'm asking when there's a complaint or some kind of a concern with our direct reports that appeal process, I thought it was taken care of through resolution. This doesn't affect that?
Right.
Okay, so that's all I'm asking. Before Chief Counsel gets up.
The current concern raised is that an employee is disciplined by a supervisor. They appeal to the area manager under the Blue Book. The area manager modifies that discipline in some way, and the supervisor disagrees with that. Under the current processes, the supervisor is allowed to appeal the area manager's decision to the personnel commission. The personnel commission, the area manager, the supervisor, and the employee are all called into a hearing to determine that appropriate disciplinary process. The request is to clarify that the area manager having the authority to modify the discipline should not also have, the supervisor should not have the ability to appeal that modification of that disciplinary action.
So does anybody have a problem with the LLC taking those three items off their active files list? The next issue is the LOC is asking the business committee whether or not they should permanently or work on the furlough policy for permanent amendments.
Where are you seeing that?
Page 171 of your electronic copy, very first paragraph.
Okay.
Okay, I would suggest yes.
Yes, what?
For them to continue to work on the furlough policy.
Oh yeah.
Lisa? Knowing where we're at with the budget, I'm going to have to say yes.
Juan? You're on the LOC.
yeah.
DeHase.
Just a question. This is already emergency approved and it's going to expire, or are we just in the drafting portion?
Right, it's going to expire. It has been emergency approved in the past. It's going to expire. And
with the second extension or just the first?
Yep, this was the second.
Okay. I guess with that clarification, I guess we can move forward with the scheduling the public hearings and going through the permanent adoption.
And then the last item was the fact that the business committee in March of 2014 directed that the legislative operating committee review the personnel commission legislation. And the LOC is indicating that there was no backup that was ever provided to them.
What does that mean?
Help us.
I don't know. That's all we know.
Was this Vince's?
Yes.
Vince De La Rosa's item?
Yes.
And that he just didn't bring it back to the LOC?
Right.
Okay.
So there was no definition on what we want, what the changes or what even the conflict was with the personnel commission, and no direction on what types of changes he would like to have seen. So we're just, what are we going to do then? Because it wasn't any of our initiatives, so we can't even continue to bring it forward as to what the concerns were.
Well, it's my understanding that the employment law is going to be continued to be worked on. So therefore, is there consideration around the personnel commission and that piece of legislation? I would assume that there is.
I would assume.
If you're working off the draft that we submitted last term, then yes.
Yeah, we're still kind of waiting for our first working meeting also for the LLC to actually start to go over this stuff. So even to this point, the LLC hasn't taken the time to review our in detail what our active files list is. We just haven't gotten to that point. I know we have a meeting scheduled soon to start our working meetings and going over these laws and starting to get the work done.
Okay. Anybody?
So that one we could just say, just make sure that it, or not make sure, but include it if necessary in the law, in the employment law. Just watch for it. I don't know if there's anything you can do with
it. When they're considering the employment law, you want them to at least include the personnel commission in their discussions about how that process would work or not work. Is that okay with everybody? Okay, so to get us to move on then, we've answered all the questions within the memorandum, so a motion to accept the Legislative Operating Committee's update with answering the following questions. On the LOC legislative items, they are requesting us to delete, which is the HR reorganization, health board bylaws, and personal policies and procedures regarding area manager of appeals. The business committee agrees with the LOC to delete those items from the active files list. With regards to the GTC meeting stipend payment policy, the business committee agrees that this should no longer be worked on. Not entirely, but yes. Okay. With regard to the furlough policy, the business committee agrees that the LOC should move forward with the development of a permanent furlough policy. With regard to the personnel commission legislation, The business committee agrees that the employment law should continue forward and shall include consideration regarding how the personnel commission is either incorporated, or at least the processes would be incorporated into the employment law legislation.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Support.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Trish. Any other questions on this? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next is the LLC quarterly report. DeHasse.
Okay, the quarterly report is before you, and just, I guess, some highlights. There was 37 items on the active files, if carried over from the previous term. The LLC is moving forward with 24 of those and added four more, so we're at 28, and that we are down some staff, so that's one of the reasons why we wanted to get clarification on moving forward. Some of this stuff is because, as I said before, we need to narrow our scope so we can get some work done, get it focused, and get it done. Other than that, you know, there's the list is there in the report of everything that we're moving forward with, and I guess just asking for your acceptance of the report.
Questions for DeHasse?
Motion to accept the LLC's quarterly report.
Support.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Trish to accept the LLC's quarterly report. Any questions or comments? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is the approval of the Finance Committee meeting minutes of September 29th. Thank you. Thank you, ladies.
It's a pretty aggressive agenda, I just want to say. Good luck, and I look forward to seeing a lot of stuff, and I'll be there to help when I can.
Yeah. Ditto.
Finance Committee meeting minutes of September 29th.
These are standard. There are any questions, I think I can answer them. I'll try. But otherwise, I didn't have anything specific for the business committee to be brought out for specific attention.
Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Support.
Motion by Fawn, seconded by DeHasse to accept the or to approve the Finance Committee meeting minutes of September 29th. Any other questions or comments? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Nothing under Community Development Planning Committee, nothing under Quality of Life, under General Tribal Council, Petitioner Michelle Danforth to change the Oneida Constitution and bylaws in regards to membership. Madam Secretary?
Yeah. At the last meeting, I did request a deferral, which the business committee granted because we were still awaiting a couple pieces of the analysis for this petition. Upon review, I believe the financial piece is still outstanding, which the treasurer can speak to. And so at this point, until we get that final piece, I think we're going to need another deferral.
Okay. Trish?
Madam Chair, I would request that we defer this item until the next meeting. We do have a pretty good draft of the financial impact, but it hasn't been fully reviewed yet. So we could be ready by that time.
Okay. Terry, did you have your hand up?
No, apparently it didn't. I was going to say that I thought it was complete, but I guess it's not fully reviewed.
Okay. So a motion to defer this to the next business committee meeting due to we're waiting for the fiscal impact statement.
Yeah, it's almost.
And I want to say it so it's like not saying, hey, we're waiting.
Waiting on you.
But we are.
We've been working diligently on it.
I know. So a motion to defer the petition to the next business committee meeting in anticipation of receiving the fiscal impact statement. Is that better?
Yes, I have a
support time motion.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I can't make the motion. Somebody has to.
I thought Trish made it.
Oh, yeah,
that was my motion, Madam.
Okay, Trish. Thank you very much. DeHasse. Must be getting close to noon.
I have a question though. There was a recommendation about at the end of the memorandum
Motion to accept the analysis and work. That probably can't be done or won't be done until the fiscal impact is received.
But the second one was to direct the secretary to work with the petitioner on the presentation. So all of that stuff can actually keep going while we're trying to finalize that.
Okay. Make a follow-up motion.
Okay. So for now, there's a motion on the floor by Trish King and seconded by DeHasse to defer this petition to the next business committee meeting on October 22nd. In anticipation of receipt of the fiscal impact statement.
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Was there a follow-up motion?
Madam Chair, I'd move to direct the tribal secretary to work with the petitioner on how the information will be presented to the General Tribal Council.
Support.
Okay, motion by Trish, seconded by DeHasse to direct the tribal secretary to work with the petitioner on how the information will be presented to the General Tribal Council. Any other questions on this issue? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next on the agenda is petitioner Gina Paulus, petition to create a support system of paralegals, advocates, and attorneys to assist and advocate for Oneida enrolled members that are engaged in any case with the Oneida judiciary. Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The requested action today is to accept the verified petition. A follow-up action is requested to send the petition to the Law Office, Finance, and Legislative References Office for the analyses to be completed, and that a stat to be completed, brought back in 45 days with a status report in 30 days. So I'll make the first motion, and which is to accept the verified petition submitted by Gina Paulus to create a support system of paralegals, advocates, and attorneys to assist and advocate for enrolled Oneida tribal members that are engaged in any case with the Oneida judiciary.
Support.
Motion by DeHasse, motion by Lisa, seconded by DeHasse to accept the verified petition submitted by Gina Paulus to create a support system of paralegals, advocates, and attorneys to assist and advocate for Oneida enrolled members that are engaged in any case with the Oneida judiciary. Comments or questions? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Follow-up motion, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make a follow-up motion to send the verified petition to the Law, Finance, and Legislative Reference Offices for the legal, financial, and legislative analyses to be completed.
Okay.
So move.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Trish, to send the verified petition to the Law, Finance, and Legislative Reference Offices for the legal, financial, and legislative analysis to be completed. Any comments or questions? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Another follow-up motion, Madam Chair.
Yes, Lisa.
Second follow-up motion is to direct the Law Office, Law, Finance, and Legislative Reference Offices to submit the requested analyses to the Tribal Secretary's Office within 45 days and that they provide a progress report within 30 days.
Okay.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn, to direct the Law, Finance, and Legislative Reference Offices to submit the requested analyses to the Tribal Secretary's Office within 45 days and that a progress report be provided within 30. Any comments or questions? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Petitioners Leah Sue Dodge, Michael T. Debraska, Frank Cornelius, and Brad Graham to hold a GTC meeting to various tribal election issues. This item was discussed on September 10th with a motion from the business committee that directed the Law Office, the Finance, and the Legislative Reference Office to submit analyses to the Secretary's Office within 45 days, and that timeline has not expired yet. But we requested a progress report be submitted within 30 days from those entities, and Brandon Stevens from the Legislative Reference or Legislative Operating Committee did submit a progress report.
The report just basically says they're working on the analysis and that we'll be bringing the final report to the October 22nd meeting.
Okay. Anything else, Madam Secretary, on this issue?
No.
Do we need that financial impact for that one, too?
No. This is just the requested status reports. So this is just the LRO's status, where they're at with the analyses.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So motion to accept as FYI.
So moved.
Support.
Motion by Trish to accept the memorandum that was provided by Brandon Stevens, the Legislative Operating Committee Chair, as FYI, seconded by DeHasse. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The GTC, approving the special GTC meeting packet for November 15th.
Madam Chair.
Lisa.
Per the business committee's conversation, I'm going to make a motion to defer this to a special BC meeting on October 14th from 1:30 to 3.
Okay, motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn, to defer this item to a special BC meeting scheduled for October 14th, 2014, from 1:30 to 3 p.m. Any questions or comments on this? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Under unfinished business, there is nothing. Under new business, the acceptance of the 2014 special election final report and declaring the results official from the judiciary election. Michelle?
The report is before you. The elections were held on September 27th in Oneida and in Milwaukee. You can see that the winners are highlighted in purple on the report. And the cost of the election was $8,019.83. The breakout of the stipends are before you. Those include the pre-meetings, the prep meeting, the actual day of the election, a recount, and the totals are before you. The total stipends to conduct the election was $5,445. And that total is a little less than it would normally be. We did not rent an AccuTab voting machine for the Milwaukee site. The low turnout in the primary and the general election really didn't, it didn't seem to appear to need to go through that expense. The rental is about $700 plus the memory card. And this time around we had 73 votes. It took us less than a half an hour to count those votes. On the election day there was one it was the AccuTab machine did not arrive at the Oneida Health Center prior to 7 a.m. It didn't get there till 7:30. It was not functioning until 8. One of the things the election board has done because of past practice, when we do the prep meeting the night before, all the equipment is there and we do not leave the equipment in the building. One person takes the machine, one person takes the memory card, and another person takes the ballots. So nothing is together unsupervised. They're all in pieces and parts. They're all brought back together in that morning. The machine did not arrive on time. The election law says the voting shall be starting at 7 a.m. They opened the polls at 7 without the machine. There were 16 ballots that people had voted. That was confirmed by the registration. And the number of ballots that we had once the AccuTab machine was working, those ballots were verified by the enrollment department. I'm sorry, not the election board, under the guidance of the Oneida police officer and entered into the ballot box. One of the things that we do on a regular basis, this happens for every election, is we verify the number of ballots. Those 16 ballots were accounted for. And we know this because we started off with 1,500 ballots. We count the number of ballots we have left over, set that number aside, and then go through how many ballots we actually have, how many were spoiled, how many were test ballots, and the numbers are all matching. And then there was a recount requested by Jessica Wallenfang, and there were two additional votes for Johnny Polis III identified from the Milwaukee polling site. It did not change the results of the election.
Any questions from the business committee at this time? Brad?
I have some concerns here about this with the voting machine. Who was in charge of it that day to make sure it was there?
An election board member.
And why was it not brought in time?
I believe they overslept.
Because the election law clearly states the first people coming in.
Brad, can you hold on for a second? Our chief counsel is interjecting. Go ahead.
In accordance with the resolution adopted by the business committee regarding discussing individuals and their actions, it is inappropriate to have this discussion on the floor of the business committee meeting. If this discussion is desired, it can be moved into an executive session matter, but it cannot be discussed in the open meeting of the BC. The election board has given sufficient information in which to identify what happened on the election day, the actions they took to verify the ballots that were voted at that time, the opportunities they gave to the members that placed their cast their ballots between 7 and 8 o'clock in the morning. There's no further need for this discussion in the business committee meeting regarding individual actions and individual responsibilities.
Thank you. Did you understand that, Brad?
Yeah.
Okay.
So when is this going to be brought up again?
When is what going to be brought up again?
The actions. Because the election law clearly states that the people witness.
The election law also provides for challenges for individuals who believe that the election wasn't held fairly. That issue and those challenges were due yesterday at 4:30. And there was no challenges. So the business committee is right now considering whether or not to certify the election results. The election board just reported that there was discrepancies with the voting machine arriving at 7:30 in the morning. And it's now up to the business committee whether to accept the report or not. My understanding. Am I correct?
The discussion being underway at this point is not regards to the election itself. It's in regards to the actions of an individual, at which point the question presented to the business committee was what was going to happen and what was the business committee going to do. This is not a matter for the business committee. It's a matter for the election board to address their board members in their meetings, not in the business committee forum and public session.
Thank you. Brad?
All right. Guys don't want to talk about it.
Thank you. What is the pleasure of the business committee with regards to the special election final results?
I'll just state, since it's a little silent, that I'm going to abstain from this because I had a family member in the election.
Oh, I better look.
Go ahead, Brad.
Looking at this here, what were the per diems for?
Go ahead, Michelle.
Travel to Milwaukee, the travel day of Friday and Sunday.
For travel?
Yes, to Milwaukee.
Gas?
Actually, I took my personal vehicle. I was not allowed to use mileage. The per diem is part of the travel policy.
That much money? Especially for right here.
That was for the travel to Milwaukee. I believe it is like $45 per day. I believe it's $61 for a full day. Travel is 75% of the full day. And the per diem was for three election board members, two enrollment people, and one police officer.
Well, the next time it should be broke down that way. You know, so a person has an idea who all, because that ain't included in here. It's just lumped together.
So what you're saying is you requested per diem per day for being here in Oneida when they were in Milwaukee. You're just asking them to indicate who into Milwaukee. Okay.
And then also, come the food costs were so high.
That was 3 meals a day for 10 people at each site.
All right. And then stipends for the election board itself, it's still at $100 per meeting, correct?
Yes. Except for the day of conducting the polls, it's $10 an hour.
You should have had that broke down a little bit better, too.
I'm not sure what you mean by that, because I thought I broke it down very well. The election it has the prep meetings for the election board identified. It has the special meeting that, prior to the setting of the polls. That special meeting is to prepare the space and train the alternates, conducting the polls, and the recount. I don't know, and it's by person, so I'm not sure how you would like that broken out more.
Well, it should have been how many meetings you had before the election.
It actually does have it on the bottom under the little star. The board meetings were held on August 11th, September 2nd, and September 9th, and the officers' meeting was held on September 22nd.
All right. I'm just asking, because it seems like an awful lot. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Trish?
I'd move to accept the final report from the 2014 special election and verify with a note that identifies the election board verified how do I want to say that?
The AccuVote tabulator?
Yeah, the delay in the time of the polls opening from 7 to basically 8, was it?
But it didn't get delayed. They opened the polls on time.
Oh, okay.
But the AccuVote tabulator didn't arrive until 7:30. So they received the ballots by hand, mm-hmm. secured them, and once the machine got there, they inserted the ballots, and they said they got 16 of them.
Okay, so what I'm asking I want to accept it and say that based on their verification that the AccuVote tabulator it's not really the AccuVote tabulator. Let me do one at a time. I just want to make a note for the record that the election board actually
disclosed
and verified the issues with starting up the AccuVote tabulator.
Okay. So the first motion then is to accept the 2014 special election final report and declare the results official.
Yes.
Okay, so that's a motion by Trish. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Fawn. Any other comments or questions? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
Motion carries with two abstentions, Lisa and DeHase.
Does that make it a split vote or no?
No.
No.
Motion carries.
Okay.
Was there a follow-up motion you wanted to make?
Yes. Due to the timing of the getting it started and everything. A motion to direct the Secretary's office to deliver the oath of office to the Chief Judge and the Chief Appellate Judge by October 13th or as soon thereafter as possible in order to begin the administrative transition and organization of the judiciary.
Motion by Trish. Is there support?
Support.
Supported by DeHase. Any questions on that motion? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair, follow-up motion.
Lisa?
Make a motion to direct the United Tribal Judicial System personnel in accordance with Resolve Number 3 of Section 7 of General Tribal Council Resolution 1713B shall have supervision transferred to the Chief Appellate Judge upon taking the oath of office.
Is there a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Fawn. Any questions on that motion? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Was that it?
One more motion.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to approve the judiciary training schedule, which was presented to the Oneida Business Committee, and to authorize the chief appellate judge or the chief judge to make appropriate changes and amendments to the judiciary training schedule in order to effectively manage the training and transition of the judiciary.
Motion by Lisa. Is there support?
Support.
Supported by Trish. Any comments or questions on that motion? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair.
Trish?
I just want to, I don't know what at point time it's appropriate, probably when we do the induction, but I just want to recognize all of the administrative, the Appeals Commission and all of their staff and everybody that have come together to get us where we are today. And this is the next iteration to getting us where we need to be. And so I just appreciate the work that has been done for multiple years. I know it's been well over six, possibly 10, to get this transition done. And I just think that the business committee should reach out to the appeals commissioners, the former commissioners, and the current judiciary, or the newly elected, and thank them for their service.
Thank you.
Thank you,
all
Michelle.
Right. Was that it? All right, on to the next item, which is the limited waiver of sovereign immunity for the ACL license agreement number 2014-1104, sponsored by Fawn. So internal audit is requesting approval of the ACL license agreement, which is to continue the data analytics project in support of the audit projects, which is a technology that they're trying to utilize. There's an arbitration dispute resolution clause within the agreement that requires a limited waiver of sovereign immunity. So they're requesting the business committee to approve that limited waiver.
Nobody wants to move or what?
Motion to approve the limited waiver of sovereign immunity for the ACL license agreement number 2014-1104.
Support.
Motion by DeHasse, seconded by Trish, to approve the limited waiver of sovereign immunity for the ACL license agreement number 2014-1104. Any questions? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Travel reports, nothing. Travel requests, environmental health and safety for the WCAC meeting in Hayward, Wisconsin, October 14th and 15th. And my understanding is that this travel is reimbursed by the Wisconsin Travel Conservation Advisory Council, a.k.a. WCAC.
Correct. I did consult with Larry on this just to try to figure out how it fit within the new resolution, and I don't know. So, you know, we want to make sure we follow the continuing resolution. So, you know, we continue to have a lot of questions clarifying. So with this one, he says, yeah, let's bring this before the business committee. It may have followed on, because I've been appointed by the business committee to be the representative for the tribe to sit on this council. And for, you know, so this might fit under the category of government to government or legislation. So then would these still have to come before you? So that was kind of, we're trying to figure all this out. I don't know, now is the time to get these, some of these things clarified a little bit. Or should I just set up something different? What's, you know, maybe a couple of business committees or, because we have other ones too. So right now in the environmental health and safety, we're saying we're just not going to travel. All our travel is covered under grants. So we're going back to the agencies, and we're letting them know. But there's other agencies like BAA for our self-governance where we gets funded through that they requested us to be there. They said we have to be there as part of a granting in order for us to get trained, in order for us to apply for the grant this year. So there's a meeting in November, so we're going to bring that back. But I don't want to keep bringing stuff back if the intent is we're just not traveling. or, you know, what's the government, you know, as the only ones that travel on a government, is that just the BC and the legislation? Or, you know, if you're to appoint it by the business committee. So we're just looking for more of those clarifications so we can carry out this continuing resolution. Even some of our, like Jeff Mears, he has one from the Science Council where they pay for the whole thing too. Doesn't no cost to the tribe. Is the intent of no travel at all, or is it, where this is all paid from outside, it's not coming through the tribal finance issues, you know, so these things are just trying to, you know, I'm using this one as an example of making sure we're following the resolution so I can go back to our teams and saying the intent of this particular travel, these intents of the government, the intent of the legislation, the intent of the grant, what, I guess, around that. Or is this not appropriate now? Maybe I need to come back to a different area. So,
Trish?
Chief Counsel for explaining that process. But initially, because what I'm thinking of is that I don't have the resolution in front of me. This is, I would see this as governmental travel, for one thing. But the other thing is that there's a requirement that says that all travel should be reported out to the business committee. It's not for approval at this level. Is that correct? It's for information. And it's a way for us to check and balance, make sure that we're not out of compliance with the resolution. The other thing is that we are getting several questions on how to process this, and so Brian and I are working on a memorandum to help explain to the operations what the expectation is and what the process would be to follow for reporting back to the business committee. And it's a matter of the operations reporting out, identifying that they're in compliance. They have the authority, the discretion to do that. Want to verify that?
So under the continuing resolution 924-14A, item 4, all travel has to be approved by the business committee. That resolution also identifies that if you have travel that's incorporated within a grant funding, that you are to request the grantor if that travel funding can be reallocated to some other area that's consistent with the grant. If the grantor says no, the travel must be undertaken, then that grant itself, the budget related to travel, is re-presented to the business committee and reapproved. Upon receiving that reapproval, all of that travel is authorized under the grant because you have attempted to modify the grant and been unsuccessful. In this particular instance, that correspondence or other discussion with the grantor indicates that the travel needs to be undertaken in relation to the grant. This presentation to the business committee of that reapproval of that grant budget, it would approve all of the travel included within the grant. Under the resolution, then, that travel would move forward. These minutes from this particular meeting would be incorporated with that travel request so that they can show that the authorization has been made in accordance with the resolution. Once that occurs, would be my opinion, interpreting the resolution, that travel no longer needs to come to the business committee for approval anymore. It's been approved because you reapproved the grant budget. This is presuming that some grants have multiple travel activities within them. So under this process, Pat has contacted the granting agency. They've indicated, no, you have to undertake the travel. He's now coming to the business committee to reapprove the grant budget so that he can carry out the travel within that grant.
And the difficulty with this one and others, there is no grant that comes to the tribe. It's a reimbursement back to the traveler. So we have the Science Council, Jeff. There's no grant that exists. It's just they want us to, well, WCAC is different because I'm appointed by the business committee. So I did think that was a government-to-government one. But for Jeff's coming up in November, that's appointed by the, you know, he's an appointment on the Science Council where they flip everything. And once again, the money doesn't come to the tribe. You know, they arrange the hotel, they get the airline ticket and stuff like that. It just fallen a little bit outside. But if the tent is not to travel, then we would say Science Council, no, we're not traveling. So I guess that was, maybe these are things that kind of fallen in. And then the other one with Tony Cushman, that there is no grant yet. we're going to be applying for the grant, but they said you need to be at this grant so we can train you to get to there. So once again, no grant. We'll probably have them travel out of different grant dollars, you know, maybe GAP because that's allowable under GAP. But there is no grant for say for that travel. It's just they're telling us. So our first question is, well, can we, you know, can we phone in or can we do a webinar or stuff like that? At first they said, well, yeah, we think we're going to be able to do that. But then they said, no, we're not going to be able to do that. So we want you there because they want to go through training to do the NEPA training. And then they sent a letter requesting us that we send one of our NEPA experts to help with the training. So these are kind of falling outside of what's the intent, you know, so I don't know if the intent is not to travel or the intent is to keep the costs down and not to impact the, you know, the cash flow. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of where the other ones we just explained, if it's in the grants, was part of the plan, we're not going to travel because we can do that. I mean, that's within the grant. They're going to allow us to do that. But these are kind of special cases that don't necessarily fall within this continuing resolution. So, but yet, maybe it does. I don't know. So,
right. I appreciate Joanne's clarification, interpretation. For the resolution itself, item number 4A of the resolution indicates very clearly that travel needs to be eliminated except for government and legislative functions approved by the business committee. And I think that's what you're talking about for WCAC.
Yes.
That I think falls within the scope of that. And then that brings it to our table because we need to approve that because it's a legislative or governmental function. So that part is appropriate. For the other request, I'm suggesting that you need to, if you need clarification, that you work with the law office.
Okay.
And you make that decision. And then you report back to us and let us know what your decision is. Based on the guidance that have been provided. And if there is additional clarification that's needed, I guess, you know.
We just keep working at it until we get it.
Right.
Yep. So, but, right. And I was preparing to have these come before the business committee on the next meeting. But we will work with the law office. And I'll continue to work with finance. So Larry's been a big help. And then you said you were going to bring additional clarifications out. So we'll use all that. But I appreciate the clarification, I guess.
Okay. Regard to the travel request, what do you guys want to do?
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to approve the WCAC request based on the business committee's continuing resolution number 4A.
Support.
Okay. There's a motion by Lisa, supported by Trish, to approve environmental health and safety's request to attend WCAC, or Wisconsin Tribal Conservation Advisory Council in Hayward, Wisconsin, October 14th and 15th, based on the business committee's continuing resolution number 4A provision. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you.
Executive session item, chief counsel report. Is this a motion to accept the report?
So moved.
Motion by Fawn to accept the report. Second by Trish.
Was there that second item on there?
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Nothing under audit committee, nothing under unfinished business, nothing under tabled business, under new business is the August 2014 treasurer's report.
Madam Chair.
Lisa?
Motion to accept the August 2014 Treasurer's Report.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn to accept the 2014 Treasurer's Report. Any questions or comments? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Sorry.
I did have a comment. For that.
Oh, go ahead. You can comment.
Want to bring to our attention that we're going to be working on the Treasurer's Report after discussion to get an executive summary on that and some of the format changes. So hopefully by the next meeting, next report, we'll have some changes to the report, and then we will open it up for public at that point.
Okay. Madam Chair.
Lisa.
Follow-up motion based on that. Nice segue, Trish. Thank you. I'll make a motion to for the next scheduled treasurer's report to direct the treasurer to bring back an updated report format based on the feedback we have already provided to the team.
Motion by Lisa.
Second.
Seconded by Fawn. Any questions on that motion? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is to approve or deny the relinquishment request.
To approve.
Motion by Fawn to approve. Is there support?
Support.
Supported by DeHasse Hill to approve the one relinquishment request. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The job description and wage approved by the former chairman with regards to the ombudsman position.
The chair.
Lisa? Oh.
Excuse me. Go ahead, Lisa.
Jacob, for executive session discussions, the motions are already pre-prepared because we cannot discuss these items in open session.
Okay.
If there's additional information, you can ask the business committee to go back into executive session, but I believe the motion right now is to defer this for 2 weeks and that we put this on the October 14th, which is next Tuesday's BC work meeting, and that the chairwoman would be responsible to communicate with the employee.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Okay.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Okay. Motion by Lisa.
Second.
Is there a second by Fawn to defer this issue for 2 weeks and that it be placed on the October 14th Business Committee work meeting with the chairwoman to be responsible for communicating with the employee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Number 4 was deleted. Number 5 was an add-on, which is the additional duties and compensation for Pat Pelkey and Butch Rentmeester. Motion?
Madam Chair.
Lisa?
I'll make a motion to let the additional duties compensation pay expire for the current development and environmental health and safety division directors.
Okay. Support. Motion by Lisa, supported by Trish, to let the additional duties pay expire for the current development and environmental health and safety division directors. Any comments or questions? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair, follow-up motion.
Lisa?
I'll make a motion to direct the Vice Chairwoman to begin adjusted wage negotiations after November 1st or after the housing reorganization is approved by the Business Committee, whichever comes first, for both the division directors, development, and environmental health and safety.
Okay. Motion by Lisa, seconded by Trish, to direct that the vice chairwoman begin adjusted wage negotiations after November 1st or after the housing reorganization is approved by the business committee, whichever comes first, for the development and environmental health and safety division directors. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair.
Lisa?
One final motion is to motion that any adjusted wages for either division director not be applicable until the adoption of the FY15 budget.
Motion by Lisa. Is there support?
Second.
Seconded by Fawn. Any questions or comments on this motion? If none, Brian? Motion stands?
Yes.
Okay, motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn, that any adjusted wages for either division director isn't applicable until upon the adoption of the fiscal year 15 budget. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. And that concludes our agenda for today.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn by Lisa, seconded by Trish at 12:25.
I just had a question. Within your first motion, did it include that we're still in those duties, right? You said you're going to stop the pay, which is fine. But
I'll clarify with you after. Thank you. So a motion to adjourn by Lisa, supported by Trish, at 12:25. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Hard issues today. Holy cow.